And welcome, everybody, to episode 412 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Harmonica One himself.
I was going to call him Salty Sea Dog.
I didn't play any harmonica. See, the thing, I keep telling you, that bit in the song, it sounds like harmonica to me, and I don't know why.
You're stupid, man.
wouldn't he be a bard, technically speaking?
I guess.
I'm a social justice bard.
Oh, God. We'll talk about social justice warriors in a minute. Golly.
Oh, you actually had that as a thing?
No. I ran into some Jill Stein supporters on Twitter this week, and I will get into that as we get further into the show. Let's get through the news so real quickly so we can discuss some stuff. We start a little bit later. Freak Five's in chat. What's up, Freak?
Chat thing. It keeps freezing me out, and I have to reconnect.
I don't know what's going on, but Freak should be able to hear us in about a minute or two. But I didn't have the streaming going on during the intro, so. But we're here. Let's get through the news so that way we can quickly get to some.
We got lots of shit to talk about.
Oh man, trust me, Jill Stein supporters, man, holy shit, man. We got to get into it. But Eric, let's start the news, man.
First off, from Gematsu, we've got a new Starshin game, Starshin Anamnesis. I don't know how to pronounce this.
I would say it's anamnesis.
Anamnesis.
Liam Neeson.
That's all we know. There's some artwork and a logo of
characters. I get it. Just looking at how it's written in Japanese, it's anamnesis, and I think it's supposed to be like nemesis, maybe like a combination of nemesis and anonymous and amnesia, or I don't know.
I guess. I mean,
anyways, it looks like
we are anonymous. Fear us.
It looks like it's like a dream Star Ocean game because it looks like it plays like the other Star Oceans, but you can play as any of the characters in the series, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm.
It's a iOS and Android game.
I'm a decent fan of Star Ocean. The latest iterations weren't the greatest, but the ones on the PS2 were fine.
I heard that 5's a market improvement over 4, which is not hard because 4 is awful. But I still need to get it, and I'm kind of waiting for a $20 Black Friday deal or something.
Yeah. Mm. All right, let's move on to the next story. Breakman.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era. Oh, great. Romance awaits in the mystical mountain pass of Treasure of a Blizzard. Mm. Wait, what's the name of the game? Visual novel.
Treasure of a Blizzard, because that's the name of the title.
Visual novel Treasure of a Blizzard follows Kang, a warrior, on a journey to the Emperor's capital alongside his childhood friend and fellow fighter Lin. Along the way, Kang may find love in one of several characters based on decisions he makes. What? What?
You know, Yang from Final Fantasy XIV. It's not Yang, it's Yang.
Yang, so it's Kong? Sorry.
Yeah, Kong. I'm assuming based on the similar spelling.
I like Kang better.
I'm sorry. I'm completely distracted by the picture of tits that I'm looking at.
Yeah, there are tits.
There are tits.
This truly is a romantic game. Yeah. Kong will meet Tavern owner.
I'm assuming sure what her name is. The
May.
Large girl in this picture.
May.
That's appropriate. May, as well as mysterious leader of a group of werewolves, Shan. Players can work to get to know any of the three. Sean, I don't give a shit.
You need to learn Chinese, boy.
No, how about who cares? Like When I see K-A-N-G.
We're trying to get through the news quickly, so let's work on that.
Players can work to get to know any of the three women well over the course of play with the decisions they make leading to one of the game's 10 endings.
Boilerplate standard, text adventure, visual novel / text adventure.
So it's not like sexual positions you get to finish them in.
No, it's not.
I thought that was different endings.
It's
disappointing.
It's not the
no. Those aren't different endings.
I bet most of the endings are died. Game over.
Oh, good call.
Yeah, I'm going to show the picture of the tits for Freak Five since he's in there. Let's see here.
Freak Five needs some kind of wank material this episode.
I guess, man.
Please.
Wank,
You know I'm what? Here. He has all the white material he needs.
Oh my god, that's awful.
Well, he can't see you, so it doesn't matter.
That's what you think.
No, that's what we
call. That creeps me out now that you said that.
That's what we call vomit-inducing. Mug. That's the
maybe
opposite.
You're a really freak.
Exactly.
Suppose that somebody all this chat Freak 5 Chaos.
All this time, Mug was Freak 5 Chaos.
Yes, I've been freak in disguise the entire time.
All right, Mug.
It's been a long con. All right, yeah, coming exactly. coming to us live from the site which must not be named. skip the headline because it's going to be in the first sentence. Gung Ho is working on a new mobile game called Seventh Rebirth. Let me come with you, Pontius. I may be of the Mythic and there the Sudden Crisis.
Knock it off, man.
Featuring big names as key developers like Final Fantasy XI producers Hiromichi Tanaka and music by Yasunori Mitsuda, which is good if you don't know who that is. He's the guy who did the Xenogears and Chrono Trigger, Chrono Cross. Here's the first trailer. While the trailer doesn't show any gameplay, it features English narration that tells us more about its world, and we also get a look at its world. Here's a list of some of the key staff involved in the new title. Executive producers Kazuki Morishita, producers Hiromichi Tanaka, directors Takashi Hirose, music is Yasunori Mitsuda, scenarios Nobuyuki Inoue, and Koji Tsuda. The only one of those names I know for certain I recognize is Yasunori Mitsuda. So it'll have a good soundtrack if absolutely nothing else.
I've seen the scenario writer, and I think I've seen Koji Tsuda before, but I'm not completely familiar with him.
Yeah. Seventh Rebirth launches in Japan in fall 2016 for Android and iOS.
We might see that, late 2017 if it gets here?
No, more like mid 2017 if it's coming out in fall of 2016 in Japan.
All right. Next story come to us from the site that shall not be named. A new Attack on Titan visual novel game by Koei Tecmo's Ruby Party announced for 3DS. Attack on Titan: Escape from Certain Deaths, a visual novel game that uses material from the anime as part of a tag team effort between Ruby Party, known for its neo-romance series that is geared towards women, and the visual staff of the TV anime. Features an original story that takes place in a certain old castle. You'll take on the role of a Survey Corps character and must find a way to escape from the old castle alongside familiar characters. Protagonist is an original character who lost their equipment and got lost in the old castle and will escape with two or three others.
But we learn they die later because they obviously aren't in the show.
When you first start out, you'll get to pick the gender of the protagonist. Going male will give you Mikasa, and female, my house.
we'll give you Tsukasa.
Yeah, and female will give you Tsukasa. No, Levi as partners. Have you ever heard that? In my house. That's who sings that song. Somebody tell me.
You're thinking of Our House.
Our House. Mary Jane.
Yeah, that's Madness.
No, it's Mary Jane Girls. I think.
Trust me, I'm very familiar with it.
Oh my god, man, I'm gonna have to look this shit up. And that's pretty much the story, guys. So
it was where we used to sleep, our house.
No,
was
not,
a castle
not
and
that
I keep our
no,
house.
No, that's not the one I'm thinking. The one I'm thinking. I'm thinking Mary Jane Girls. Hold on, let me pull that up. Mary Jane Girls. In my house, this song right here, guys.
I didn't know Pogs was a kink.
What?
Freak 5 just listed off. He's like, I have a wide range of spank material. Tall, short, midgets, big boobs, little boobs, BBWs, skinny milfs, redheads, brunettes, goth, emo, and Pogs. And I said, Pogs? He said, fat ass white girls. with a PH.
Oh my, that's...
You know, I really wish I could transport myself in time about a minute ago.
May I say, Freak, my life is in no way enriched by that new knowledge.
Yeah. Okay, here you go.
When I committed suicide, it will be in the
I'm sure you guys have heard this song.
Oh yeah.
in I might have heard it at one point, but I don't remember it at all right now.
I recognize that I couldn't tell you anything about
it. I prefer when Eminem used it for one of his songs.
Yeah, I do not prefer that version. I prefer this version. This is the OG version, man. Mary Jane Girls. Come on, guys. Damn it. Son of bitches, man.
Oh, that, all right. You are more than everyone.
It's you know, true. I know what it is. You guys want to hear this instead.
Right? I can barely hear that.
You can barely
hear that. Yeah, it's the fucking Corey Feldman thing again.
Don't tell him.
Stop it.
Don't tell him we couldn't hear.
Dude, I will play harmonica over the entire rest of the show forever and ever and ever.
No,
amen.
You will not.
If you play that again.
You know what? I heard like he was so mad he came back and he made another song.
Yes, he did. Oh, get out of here. Damn it, son of a bitch. All right, let's move on.
Oh, there's an. I got some emergency news.
Uh-oh. What's the emergency news?
You have the emergency is... That Hyperlight Drifter got a 60 FPS update.
Oh, you mean like breaking news? Emergency.
I was going to say, because I said a couple weeks ago that it had a beta patch out on PC.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's.
Well, apparently they're out of beta now, maybe.
Okay. Has it been rolled out to consoles?
Says we'll be bringing this to other platforms, Humble GOG, Mac, Linux, ASAP. It doesn't. And they're planning to release the update on PS4 and Xbox One as soon as they can.
That sounds exactly like the story that I said a couple weeks ago.
Dungeon Buster says, going back to the 80s. Damn right, Dungeon Buster. All right, Breakman, do the next story, please.
Sorry, what now?
Next story, please.
I certainly wasn't ready. Is it the Green Mirror story?
No, it's the Mobius, I think.
Okay. I didn't know what story we're on at this point. Okay. Coming to us live from... Oh, God. Silicon Era again. No, this is Destructoid. Sorry.
Yeah.
This is live from Destructoid. Mobius.
You mentioned the site that must not be named, you bastard.
Sorry. Mobius Final Fantasy is coming to Steam. Maybe some of you will actually play it. Oh. I'm sorry. I would play another Final Fantasy, but RP Grinders just told me I'm not allowed to.
What? What?
It's told me to. It talks to
Those
me.
Those are lies. We just know you're in the thrall of Final Fantasy Record Keeper.
Yeah.
It talks to me sometimes. Playing a fully fledged Final Fantasy game on a mobile device probably doesn't sound like like fun to a lot of people out there. And those people are fucking stupid. I know for a fact it didn't around these parts. I have no idea what parts of these is.
I know. I don't like editorial stories like that. Like
Your time has come though, as Mobius was just announced for the PC platform via Steam. And you too can play as a scantily clad male hero in this quest to be the warrior of light and snuff out the darkness.
All by the way, fabulous.
It's Mobius.
Yeah. Mobius. In Japan, it's Mobius. Yes.
Yeah. I like Mobius better because I remember the comic Mobius. You know, do you guys remember that old vampire comic, Marvel Vampire Mobius?
No, but I remember Rom Space Knight.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Rom. I remember Rom. Yeah. Where the fuck is Weiland when you need him? Talk comics, but whatever.
Oh, so far it's only been confirmed for Japan, but I'm sure within time it will make it US.
Of course.
Like, does it have it already has an English release on mobile, doesn't it? Yeah. So, yeah, it'll probably make it to the...
Yeah. Freak 5 is exiled, as usual. That's...
I'm personally waiting for them to put Final Fantasy Dimensions on Steam. That'll happen.
Yeah. All right, Eric, next story, please.
I wouldn't be surprised if they put Record Keeper on there, too, at one point. But next story is from Silly Struberder. horror adventure game Green Mirror puts an emphasis on survival. Horror adventure game Green Mirror takes players deep into the old forest to search for missing hikers, but they'll find much deadlier things than wounded people hiding among the trees. Players act as Dylan, a search and rescue official, and a lot of that's not capitalized when it probably should be. Well, whatever. Out in the woods looking for missing hikers. The presence is out in the forest, though, and it's extremely hostile towards unwanted intruders. And they put presence this twice, which is bad form for writing in English. Just change our words. I try to do that as often as possible.
Yeah.
Minimize reusing words. Soon. After each other. But it says, as such, Dylan will need to carefully solve puzzles and make his way through the eerie, quiet lands to find the missing people and the answers as to what's going on.
I like the premise of this. That it reminds
me... Also, you need to keep yourself warm. Yeah. Nor freezing from death. Prevent freezing.
The problem I have with this game, damn it, I really wish Wyland was in chat. There was a zombie survival game on PC that looked really cool. The graphics were really cool. The story was decent. It had good characters. I can't remember what the game was called, but the problem I had with that game
was it called Neverending Nightmares.
No, it was a zombie game. And the problem with that game was that it had this mechanic where you had to constantly worry about feeding yourself. Like you were literally
survival elements, or like there's no quicker way to put me off of
it. It was a game for PC, you said?
Yes, it was for PC. I don't think.
But then it wouldn't have been it wouldn't have been Dead State then.
Why does that sound familiar?
Because Dead State's also on the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One.
I don't think it was Dead State, but it was a game where it looked cool. You had good weapons. You kind of, I mean, it was like an open sandbox kind of
zombie. State of Decay?
It wasn't State of Decay. State of Decay was a good game. DayZ. Maybe that's it. Of, Dungeon Buster got it. See, Dungeon Buster knows his shit, man.
DayZ. I've heard of that game.
Hold on.
I've heard a lot of crap from that game. It's terrible.
Well, there was a lot of good in that game, too, that I liked. I just didn't like the fact that it was, like, really making you survive. Like, you had to find food and, you know, shit like that. Like, when I play video games, like what you were saying, Mug, like, nothing turns me off.
I want some escapisms. Like, I don't want to have to worry about it. And I guess it wouldn't bother me so much. It's like, your hunger meter is basically, like, you have, like, the world's worst case of, you know, like, diabetes or something where, like, you're... Like where you have to eat like every 30 seconds in order to not starve to death. That sounds a lot like
that We Happy Few game that came out not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, Zombies Ate My Neighbors was a great game, Freak 5. But yeah, the game was DayZ, and I mean there was a lot of good in that game, but what turned
me off. The biggest problem with DayZ is the people. Yeah, essentially, it's like it's hard to find people on DayZ who aren't assholes.
Well, you're just describing multiplayer pretty much, man.
So. Well, no, the thing is, I guess in that regard, it's kind of realistic because everyone's out to get the best shit for themselves. But it's, you know, it's hard to find people who are not out. It's like, oh, you met somebody. Great. You can team. Oh, he just killed you and took all your shit.
That kind of stuff turns me off of multiplayer more than anything, man. Like if you're out there and you got a good group of people and you don't have to worry about other people fucking taking your shit, then
Played Don't Starve?
No.
I
saw it and I was like, I liked.
I got games, Don't Starve as like a PS Plus freebie, but I haven't played it.
Yeah. I mean, I like, you know, clay games, but I just like, it's a survival game. It's entirely not my thing. I liked Shank. I loved Mark of the Ninja.
Do you play Shank too?
I have it, but I've never played through it. I mean, I've played like the first level of it.
I only played the first level of the first game.
Yeah, I actually played through the entire original one, and it was fucking hard.
Yeah. Mug, next story.
Do you think it's easier co-op?
I don't know.
Or do they scale the difficulty?
Next story, guys. Let's get through these.
All right. Up next is the same link with a different story name. So I'm going to skip that and go straight to Darksiders. Warmastered Edition delayed to November 22nd. THQ Nordic has delayed the updated edition from its previously planned October 25th release to November 22nd for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Wii U, and for PC on November 29th. The November 22nd Wii U release will be digital only with a retail version due out at a later date. It's worth noting that the press release following the change of the release date, THQ Nordic said the following. Finally, they made it into one headline together, Darksiders and 3.
Do we skip an article?
No.
I had to because the URL was the same as the previous ones, the Green Mirror one.
Yeah.
THQ Nordic changes release dates for 3 games, including Darksiders Warmastered Edition. So their press release was a little snarky because everyone's been like, where's Darksiders 3? Well, that's not happening. So it's like, Darksiders and 3 are in the same headlines.
You know how many fucking editions of Darksiders 2 there are? I mean, it's fucking ridiculous. You got the Wii what was it, the Wii U version, the PlayStation 3 version, the PS4 remastered something.
Yeah, that's like Xbox
One.
Yeah, but like the Xbox One and PS4 editions are the definitive edition.
Yeah.
Which is painful.
Yeah, and it's a painful name.
Yeah. And I saw a thing from, Digital Foundry, I think it is. The people who do the frame rate comparisons and stuff like that. They did one for the remaster of Darksiders 4, and it doesn't stay consistently 60 frames per second, although the remaster of the original Darksiders is going to.
Yeah. Freak 5 says for the WoW players next week, an updated version of Karazhan is being released next week. So that's something to look forward to for sure, especially if you play WoW. People are still playing DayZ.
Brake needs to read the next article, by the way. He has to.
Who?
Brake,
man.
All right, Brake, man. You're up.
As long as he knows it's the one I replaced the other one with.
No, because I didn't load that one yet.
Yeah, I didn't load
it. I didn't know
that.
You were.
Look at the list.
It.
It's right below the
one. I'm master. Getting to it. For fuck's sake. God damn it.
Is it? I see.
Coming to us live from Yamatsu, Atelier Chalet Plus, coming west in January. Don't correct me. I don't care. Atelier Chalet Plus, Alchemist of the Dusk Sea for PS and Vita. Why are you scrolling on me?
I can't wait till they do an Atelier Chalet.
It's coming North America in January 17th and January 20th in Europe. Game will be available digitally in North America, and both physically and digitally in Europe. In both North America and Europe, however, NIS America will sell a £54.99 limited edition via its online store. This includes Atelier Chalet Plus, Alchemist of the Dust Sea for PS Vita, 30-track original soundtrack with Jewel Case. That's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Microfire.
I like that Brake has taken this into a very marine direction. It's like, it's not, it's hoo-ah.
We in Texas now?
Yeah. Sorry. Full-color 48-page soft cover art book and a collector box, because they always have to include a fucking box. And if you guys want me to read the story.
Nah, we're good. What was I going to tell you? Texas might be a blue state coming up. Which is weird. Texas.
Free states.
Like apparently there's a similar. There's a similar thing going on with Arizona.
Arizona, Georgia, Utah. Like
it's going to be every state, and there are very few people at this point who can say it's just a conspiracy. Like no, these people are coming out of the woodwork because I know there are some people that are still saying like it's about the policy. Like, all right, and if you say so,
I think. It's going to be anywhere between 350 and 400.
But don't blue states suck because you can't buy alcohol on Sundays? Unless you go to certain stores at certain hours?
Those are blue laws, not blue states.
Yeah, blue laws. All right. Next story, Mug.
Well, I thought blue states did blue laws. That's why.
No, it's mostly red states that have blue strict blue laws.
Yeah, those are mostly religious type
that's
laws.
That's so confusing. Like, they should have color-coded it properly.
Sunday. Well, no, it's called a blue law because it's the same thing with stuff that's considered prurient, like it's not appropriate for young people, or it's like it's against religion. It's like that stuff's considered blue. Like porn movies used to be called blue movies. It's the same kind of thing.
I think red being blood and dangerous would have got that point across better.
I don't know. It's like... Well, the term blue for that kind of thing has been around for decades, so I couldn't tell you where it came from. Mm-hmm. Anyway, coming to us live from the site which must not be named.
Wishing at you.
The site which must not be named.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Visual novel / action tactical game explosion game. Omnilink. It's a tactical action / visual novel that follows Keb, a man. Keb, seriously? A man joined with the AI of a starship after an explosion has been released on Steam Early Access. In Omnilink, players will steer their ship to the stars and drown in them because they can't get close to them without meeting various people who will come to depend on you, and you will let them down as you soar into the sun. and you know, depend on you along the way. In your meetings with them, you'll be able to make decisions that affect the gameplay and story, either by getting you into tactical battles or steering the game's narrative toward its two endings. What is with these stories? It's like, here's a visual novel. Here's the description that describes every fucking visual novel ever.
If there's only two endings, there's probably only a single decision which influences the ending.
Yeah.
And, oh, God. It's like, I'm sorry. If you like visual novels, that's great. But it's... They're not games. I'm sorry. It's like, at best, it's a digital...
Well, this one is, because it has tactical RPG battles.
They're all games, dude. Like, just
no, they're not.
They are games. Okay. They're games.
Okay, let me ask you this. In that Call of Duty game that where they had the thing, press E to pay respect. I
think people just call them games because it's easier.
That's not gameplay. you get as much gameplay from a visual novel, assuming there are no... like, and I've seen them where they have no choices at all. You get as much gameplay out of an e-book.
Those are a different story, but I disagree with you, Mug. I think
if you do make decisions, it's a choose-your-own-adventure book. It's a choose-your-own-adventure ebook with pictures. That's all it is.
You can call it what you want, but it's a game.
Visual novel being a game. Especially since it's a Kinect visual novel. The Higurashi series, the game there is to figure out inside your head what's actually going on.
Let me ask you a question, Mug. Mug, listen for a second. Let me ask you a question. Does the ESRB give these, whatever you call it, a rating for games? Do they give
that's
it
like
a rating?
Because politicians have said this is illegal, is it wrong? You're
being a politician right now. It's a yes or no answer. Do they give it a rating or not? Yes or no?
They do, okay, but that doesn't define it as a fucking game.
It is a game.
What you can legally sell it as.
No, it's a game, man. There's no question it's a game. If
I'm reading an ebook, I tap the side of the screen to move to the next page. That's all you're doing in most of these visual novels.
Man.
If you like them, that's fine, but they're not games.
They are games. I disagree.
No, they're not.
if you have decision making to make or puzzles to solve, I accept they're games.
I accept that you disagree. Just know that you're wrong.
Yeah, know that you're wrong.
I can't hear you.
Right, you're going to use that to win every argument, aren't you?
I know. You're right. I've only just now discovered my power.
I hung up on Mug.
I just hate when people call games like The Walking Sims and the Kinect visual novels and even non-Kinect visual novels and stuff like The Walking Dead experiences, because every goddamn thing is an experience. Because let's call them games, because it's easier to call them games and we don't have a better classification for them.
Mug, see, this is what you don't understand, man. Like, this is like a system of checks and balances. Like, you just said that you have the harmonica and you would do that every time, like in an argument. I have ultimate veto power, man. You son of a bitch. All right.
That rules over us.
Let's move on from visual novels to a story.
All right, hang on. Just a second before you continue on. It's like, don't you talk to me like that, you...
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Frank, we're doing reviews instead of giving ratings. Can we just do serenades of the harmonica instead?
Oh, my God.
There we go.
Shut your goddamn mouth.
The higher the pitch, the better the rating. Mm. And here's my rating of Frank.
Get out of here, you son of a bitch.
Here's my rating of Frank.
I am nowhere on the harmonica scale, ooh. I will tell you that.
And here's my rating of Eric.
Get out of here. What's your rating of Breakman?
I just said my rating of Break is...
It was so...
Oh, what's awesome.
You heard it this time, though.
What's your rating of Freak 5?
The thing is, this harmonica is only keyed. It only works in a certain key, and I can't go that low.
So, okay.
I was going to say, wait until you get to the Twitter question.
Okay. To give you an idea of it, this is my review for Freak 5 upped 5 octaves.
What? All right, what about Dungeon Buster? That's got to be a rousing, like, symphony.
Dungeon Buster is pretty far.
That sucks, man. It sounds like he's lower than... Oh, no, actually, that he's higher than Freak 5. Okay, I'll accept that.
That's the thing. Well, basically, what I'm saying is my rating of Freak 5 is... except 5 octaves lower.
Okay, what about MXT?
MXT is, well, I don't know him that well, but I can only go by what you've told me. So based on the influence of that, I'm going to say.
What? No, like, you're giving him too much credit.
Bear in mind, we're talking, okay, like, look, here's MXT, we got.
I got.
And here's Dungeon Bust. Here's, hang on, here's Dungeon Buster. And here's Break.
Yeah.
I got, look, here's MXT, right?
That was a fart.
Dude, that's going to say, dude, what? Plug your ass.
No, that's MXT, man. Too bad he's not in chat. All right, let's move on to the next story.
No, wait, better yet, here's my rating of MXT. Ah, damn, I can't do the fart noise. Like they're...
That sounds more like a fart
or
that
it's like,
quit halfway through.
Brum, 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 brum. Yeah.
So, yeah, my rating of MXT.
Wait, was that a good rating? Or?
I don't know what that was.
That was not a good rating.
All right, let's move on to the next story from the site that shall not be named. Trillion, God of Destruction, and its deluxe pack coming to Steam on October 25th. So there you go.
Tuesday.
That's, yeah, Tuesday. It'll include, let's see, what will it have? The deluxe pack will be available the same day. It will include supplemental collection of downloads, several novels each, Overlord Candidate, an 18-page rough sketch artwork,
some actual background for these characters that weren't in the game themselves.
A 21-page character artbook, an 11-track soundtrack, and 6 wallpapers. These digital bonuses will be $10. So there
that's
you
actually
go.
Not bad. I mean, well, especially like with – I'm assuming like, – I don't know. When they say novels, do you mean like actual novels, like a 300, 400-page kind of thing?
No, I'm sure they're like
more like
mini
they're more
novellas.
Like, yeah, mm-hmm. And it's like – but even so, it's like – I'm assuming it's like if you get 30 pages a pop for 7, I'm like, okay, you've got a decent-sized book there to read. Yeah. So that's cool.
I guess. I guess as far as the extras
I mean, it's
not bad.
It's more substantive than a lot of special editions.
Also, it –
it's not like, you know, weapon skins or some shit.
It'll have an early, first week discount, and it'll be 40% off.
You know what I wondered? Why?
I think the game's going for 30, so you'll be able to get it for almost $15.
You know what I always wondered? Like for games like, for instance, Mass Effect and Halo, why they didn't include like a novel that gives you a little bit of backstory or bridges the gap between games.
They
like
did. They sort of did that for, what was it? I think it was the Mass Effect.
Yeah, I read the novel where you learned how Saren went bad.
No. That's not what I'm talking about. Although I have played that. It was in one of the special editions of, I think it was Mass Effect 3, where they include like a miniature edition of the first issue of a novel that kind of details like how Liara became the Shadow Broker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, you can use it to decide options that were in the first two games that because you didn't play them, you can get those.
No, I'm not talking about that. I know what you're talking about.
That's
prologue. I mean, like
an
actual
the same thing.
Yeah, I'm talking about like what the Dark Horse or whoever publishes the Mass Effect comic books. This was like there was a 4-part miniseries specifically about.
Oh, I didn't know you were actually talking about a comic book. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it's done. I think it may have been done by the same artists, so it has like a consistency of art style, which is pretty cool. But it's just like the first issue of this 4-part miniseries. Mm. So it's basically like, you know, here, go buy the full size one and then buy the next 3 issues.
Yeah. All right. Next story. Eric.
Me.
Oh.
Me.
Okay.
You. Go. It's Falcom. It has to be his.
On second thought, you'll have to skip that because my computer just blew screen.
All right.
Whoa, Eric. Shit.
But you've been using your phone your whole time then?
Yeah.
That's good.
That's what I've been doing for
I was going to say, you've been doing that for months. Yeah.
Yeah, because anyways, I found that it just worked better.
From Gematsu, we've got Xanadu Next and Senran Kagura Bon Appetit for PC launch in November. That'll be November 3rd for GOG and Steam and probably the Humble Store. Yeah. And you can get it for 10% discount in the first week, I guess. If anybody didn't know what Bon Appetit, Senran Kagura Bon Appetit, that was a rhythm game based on the Senran Kagura games. It's okay, but it's – I think for $30 you're asking for a lot, but it's also including all the DLC, which is probably why it's called Full Course.
Yeah, that's not bad. As far as Xanadu Next goes, I know Tom Lipschultz at WordWad at XSEED worked with him when I was doing translations and stuff for him, and I also knew him before then. But Xanadu Next is one of his favorite games of all time, and I know he has been pushing at the office to get them to bring it over, and it looks like he finally succeeded, and it's but I know that he's like super excited about it. It's this weird kind of cross of like the Oathenfell Ghana, you know, East Origin kind of East type games, and a little bit of Diablo.
Ooh, I like that. Sounds kind
of also looks like a little bit MMO too, because it looks like you've got shortcuts for like certain abilities.
Yeah. All right, Breakman, next story, please.
Yay! Oh, sorry. Coming to us live from Gematsu, The Last Guardian goes gold. There's nothing. And then it's the first sentence. This means the game is finished development and ready for production. Oh my god, that's the second sentence? Fuck. I'm sorry. I apologize, everyone. I apologize.
Yeah.
The anticipated PlayStation 4 title is due out on December 6th in Americas and Japan, December 7th in Europe, and December 9th in the United Kingdom and Ireland.
Yeah.
The tweet from Jun Yoshino.
Mm hmm.
Has since been deleted. We're not if he made the announcement too early. If not there sure. was other reasons, but we're not if he made the announcement too early. As a
they
sentence.
Meant to say, we're not sure.
Yeah, we're not. Sure.
No, but it's the site which must not be named. You have to interpret.
No, this is Gematsu.
It's not.
They fucked up.
All right. Well,
it might have been translation error though. So who knows?
Or if there are other reasons behind.
Did they babelfish it? I mean, what the fuck?
I have no idea.
For you young folks, that's the same thing as Google Translate, and Google bought Babelfish, and that's why.
All right, next story. Let's go with your computer's still fucked up. So
yeah, I'm trying to start back up.
No worries. I'll go for it. Go
convenient.
For it.
I mean, sorry.
No, the weird thing about my computer is that if I have USB stuff plugged in as it's booting up. When it's supposed to, you know, say starting Windows, I get invalid partition table.
Yeah, what do you expect?
I unplug it and restart it, and it boots up. It's fucking weird.
What do you expect? It's a PC, man. Those are the type of fucking problems.
No, it's the problem is it's a 9 month, or rather it's a 7 year old PC that went through an extensive period of severe overheating, so the CPU's damaged.
Oh well, still it's PC. All right, Silver Case Remaster coming to PS4 in early 2017 comes to us from Gematsu. The recently launched PC remaster of the Silver Case is coming to PS4. NAS America will publish it in North America and Europe as both a physical and digital release in early 2017. In Japan, Grasshopper Manufacturer will publish a game in the first half of 2017. What Grasshopper Manufacturer sounds familiar. What else?
I know, I've seen the name before.
No More Heroes.
No More Heroes.
Oh, okay, that's it.
The PlayStation 4 version of the Silver Case will be playable at the NIS America booth at MCM London Comic Con, which runs from October 28th to 30th. You know, I should try to get Gripper passes to that, like press passes to the London Comic Con. That would be pretty cool. And there's an overview if you want to look at it. It's on Gematsu's website, or Breakman conveniently puts those in chat. So there you go. Also, just as a reminder, everybody, if you're wondering where these stories are and I don't put them in the show notes, Eric posts on the RP Grinder page the kind of, what do they call it, the synopsis of what we went over. So you guys can check out all those stories on Facebook. Look up RP Grinders. So, all right, Eric, last story, please.
The last story is for release date for Europeans. Shin Megami Tensei 4 Apocalypse and Seventh Dragon 3 Code VFD launch in Europe on December 2nd, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's cool news for the Euros out there. So I have not played Apocalypse. I'm interested, though. I think it's going to be pretty good. So
it's a much better game than 4 was.
Yeah, and 4 was pretty decent, wasn't it?
The Shin Megami Tensei?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I've actually never played any of those games.
They're fun, for sure. All right, let's move on, guys. That's the end. No homie discounts this week. Twitter questions. Breakman, any Twitter questions?
I don't know if I should say repeat this or not.
If they're Freak 5 Chaos questions, then no. Move along.
I don't know if he was trying to just completely offend us in every single way. Oh, actually, you know what? There's some other stuff I can probably read.
Like, now the thing is, here's the thing. It's very hard to offend me, but Freak disgusts me.
Yeah, like,
there's a subtle difference.
See, the thing is, either he was trying to disgust us in completely every way, or he just ran out of would you rathers, and this is the only thing he can think of. All right. I think it's the latter. But if we decide not to answer this one, I'm good with this. Would you rather suck your dad's dick or lick your mom's pussy?
Oh, my God. What the?
Well,
I'm not playing.
My dad's been my dad's has been dead for the past year and is cremated. So I'm not sure. My mom's still alive, and I fucking hate her. And I'm not sure what my best option is here. this is a genuine conundrum.
I would take the dad, I guess.
I think I'm going to go with the ashes. I think I'm going to go with inhaling ashes.
here's my answer. I heard from in the other room. Ew.
That is the point of a good would you rather. I mean,
that's fucking awful, man. What the fuck?
If you can make passersby or kind of innocent bystanders go ew, then I'll give Freak that. It's a good, and by that I mean horrible.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Anything else on Twitter? Break.
God. Let me see here.
That was so bad.
What?
That was so bad. Like, I think that has to be up there with one of the worst, if not the worst. Oh, man.
You had a conversation going on with some other podcasts I don't think is really actually relevant to this show. There's nothing else.
Yeah. All right. All right. I'm going to skip Thief or Not Thief because I want to do some more shit. What have you been playing?
Plus, Jack and Daxter sucks compared to Jack 2 anyways.
Nah, Jack and Daxter's fine.
Jack 2.
Uncharted 4.
I'm sorry, what'd you do to Jack?
So I was going to say, I'm pretty certain he's all about Jack.
Oh, Eric, you haven't answered, according to Freak Vibes, on the Would You Rather. Are you?
I have an answer?
Yeah, do you have
answer? You have not answered yet.
I thought he was with me. He wasn't.
I think I already said no.
It's like, what's it? Which one will you do? No.
No.
No. Not touching that shit.
All right. I've been playing Uncharted 4.
You don't have to touch shit. It's genitalia. It's not shit.
No, I'll go touch the shit. Please.
You might have
to do that.
You might have to touch shit if you're trying
talking about to. Shit versus fadge. Yeah, definitely shit.
If you're trying to. Touch shit. The only reason I can see is if you're trying to polish a turd. That's the only reason I can see. Which the MythBusters tried.
Really hard.
Yeah, I remember. I remember that I saw that episode where they figured out that yes, you can polish shit.
That's got to be really hard, though.
Freak 5 says Thief or Not to Thief is a stupid segment. That dude, fuck off, Freak. It's a fun segment. I just don't feel like doing it this week. Uncharted.
Actually,
I don't know what he said, but he didn't say Thief.
For Thief or Not to Thief, Alan Wake.
Oh, my God, dude. We're not doing it this week.
No, I think he said and Fife or Not to Fife is a stupid segment.
We'll do it. Fife. Keep that
Barney
for next
Fife
week.
Or not Barney Fife.
Yeah, exactly. Keep that for next week. We'll do that next week.
Are we going to ever do Get to Know Your Grinders?
Eventually we will, man.
What was that? Are we going to ever do what?
Get to Know Your Grinders. That's another segment that we have that we shelved for a while.
Well, we're still only about 40 minutes in, so we've got time.
Look, if people don't know, at least break Eric and I after how many fucking years we've done this show, then I don't know what to say.
But
man.
You always have to account that there could be new listeners.
Right.
Hey, you never know. We could have new listeners that just haven't that are too ashamed of the fact that they listen to us to make themselves known.
That's true. That is true. So for all of our
we're almost like Dismal Jesters in a way. Only that show doesn't exist anymore.
All right. What have you been playing? I've been playing Uncharted 4 some more. I'm very close to doing a review. I think I'll pretty much have it wrapped up here real
have
soon.
Have you played the other games?
The first three? Yeah.
Yeah.
I beat all of them.
Cool. Uncharted 4, since I thought Uncharted 3 was kind of a fart.
Uncharted 3 was not great.
I thought it was okay.
Was that the subtitle of it? Uncharted 3, a fart?
The problem... Uncharted. The problem with
Uncharted,
it's actually it's not Uncharted 3, it's Uncharted Free, as in free a fart.
Stupid. You guys are stupid. You guys are dumb.
But I'm very like, close. Let me ask you this: which is, of the original three, which is your favorite?
Uncharted 3, Drake's gastrial emancipation.
Free 5 says you could have gained some new listeners after ZA had Mug on. No, I think our listenership actually dropped after that.
You're so funny. I feel the need to play harmonica at you.
I have the need to press the button.
Frank,
you know what's
this is for you. This is for you, baby.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh.
You know what's funny is the 400th episode, we had a bunch of people on, a bunch of people in chat. None of those people have ever come back.
I know.
Well, there's also – actually, there's still there's still a lot of people having internet problems today because of that massive DDoS attack.
Yeah, that
on
is true. Yeah, that is true.
Also, we need to get interviews.
That's not stopping them from being in here.
I am in contact, I am friends or at least in contact with several people that would be fun to interview. Like I told you, I know Vincent Diamante. I've known him for freaking, more than almost two decades. But he was the composer for Flower and, Greg Kasavin. And you mentioned that you've interviewed him before, but I've known him since like the old, Neo Geo mailing list days in the 90s.
Yeah. Kasavin's a great interview. We should get him back on.
About Pyre.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a good guy.
He's a great guy. He's one of the few like journalist guys that crossed over that was really cool. Like
he used to work at GameSpot.
Yeah. No. I'm not even going to mention that, Freak Five.
I'm not saying sure.
I know, but I'm just saying, like you said, he's a journalist. I was thinking, journalist? Oh, that's right. He used to work at GameSpot.
Yeah.
That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about what he read in chat.
Yeah.
I can't see what's in chat, goddammit.
You don't want to see what's in chat.
You don't want
to see
it.
Yes, I
will type it to you in Skype.
No, you don't want to see it. Uncharted 4 I've been playing. I probably could do a review now, but I'm not going to do it because the ending might be something to talk about. I don't know.
I haven't played it yet, but I want to, so no spoilers on that. Do you think it's as good as Uncharted 2, I guess is what I'm getting
at. Yes, so far. I'll talk about it when I do the review, man.
Okay.
I think it's better than 2 since it doesn't have any of 2's problems.
Well, maybe, but... All right, Eric, let's get through your laundry list of games here.
All right. I played a little bit more Sonic Boom Fire and Ice. I just decided to do it at work because I had nothing to take to work. Because I do have a code for Valkyrie Drive, Bikuni, but I couldn't play something like that at my work, even during break.
Yeah, so, probably not.
No. I played Sega Dimension Neptune versus Sega Hard Girls before my PSP Vita memory card decided to kill itself, basically. So whenever I have the room again, I'll put it back on there because I need to get back to that stuff so I could write review. But Paper Mario Color Splash came in, and I'm reviewing that for Game Tactics. The reason why it's late is because the web author has been on the mend after a surgery he had.
Okay. That sucks.
Yeah. So it had been sitting in his office at work for a week before he could get back to it.
You're in the hospital. You just had yourself knocked out and cut open. So I think we can forgive, a little bit.
I think he went back to work. It's just that he couldn't go to work to actually pick it up.
Ah. All right. So.
But other than that, I had a game in here I should have deleted, but oh well. I played Ninja Usagi Maru, the Mysterious Karakuri Castle for the 3DS. That's a...
God, I fucking hate titles like that. When you, like, Karakuri just means, it means a mechanism. Like, the most common usage of the word is clockwork. Like, Clockwork Castle. It sounds great. It's a it's an alliteration. It works perfectly. This Karakuri Castle. Like, yeah. No, we have to be fucking weeaboos and romanize a goddamn, you know, a perfectly easily that,
that's
translatable
something about
word.
Axis that I've never liked, to be honest. It
drives me up the fucking wall.
But anyways, it is a fun problem. Little puzzle game, and it's only like – it's not very expensive either, so it won't hurt your wallet if you want to go buy it. But the puzzles are pretty tough. I've only got like one world beaten at like six. And you get new skills to combat even tougher puzzles later. So there is a tiny bit of a progression system. Because I don't think you might be able to use those abilities and items in the earlier ones, earlier levels for better times. But I have to actually check that out. But other than that, I played Yomiuri Night Alone, which I also was playing on my Vita until that happened. But I've got a Steam code, so I'll just start over from there.
All right, you mentioned that your Vita died?
No, my Vita didn't die. My memory card did.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. I'm never buying a 64 gigabyte Vita memory card again because I can't trust them, and they're too expensive.
Yeah, I need to. Yeah, like I was looking at one on
Amazon. They seem
Amazon.
To have a it's high like failure 100, rate.
Yeah, it's like $107. I'm like, for 64 gigs? Seriously?
Yeah. I mean, it's bad enough the 32s are expensive they are, but
yeah, they're still like $85.
Even if I can find a good deal on the 64 gigabytes, I think there's just something weird about like mass storage devices or like high capacity storage devices of any particular medium. If it's at the maximum, they just tend to have more problems because there's more space, more things can fuck up easy.
Well, I think it's because higher capacity.
Kind of reminds me of those like super medium PS2 memory cards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But well, those were also like made by cheap ass companies. But
well, I figured that these are too. It's just Sony officially licenses them, so the Sony stamps on them, but they're from.
It's like SanDisk. You know, SanDisk recently came out with a 1 terabyte SD card. I'm like, that's really cool, but I wouldn't trust any important data to one yet. Hmm. Like once
I'm just
going to
stick to 32 come out with it, as soon as I can.
It's like, when they come out with a 2 terabyte SD card, which of course they will, or they'll come out, you know, like SD will be left behind or whatever. But
so, yeah,
then I'll be like,
probably,
okay,
I'll
yeah, while you're making, yeah, like you're putting, like, you still have, you know, 1 terabyte SD cards at that point. Yeah, sure, I'll use one.
Yeah, I'll probably get it. Yeah, like,
what else have you been
Christmas
playing, Eric? Let's get through what you've been playing, man. Come on.
But that's it. That's all I've been playing.
All right, Breakman.
Really? Eric's done? That was quick.
But so yeah, my car dying is my Stinko, so you can skip me for Stinkos.
Alright. Break.
Oh, okay. I haven't played much this week, but I did beat Assassin's Creed Unity, and I completely understand why Moria hated the ending. For people who are into the franchise, which I'm not, like I can imagine like it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I'm like, if you care, I mean, a lot of people are like, I like it because of the, like, the historical tourism kind of aspect of it,
yeah,
which is all well and good. But if you like, if you're one of those apparently few who actually like the overarching narrative of the modern day stuff, it's a complete slap in the face because it advances that literally not at all.
Right.
You're talking about Assassin's Creed? Is that what you're talking about?
Unity. Assassin's Creed Unity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The game that everybody apparently hated except for me, which I'm quite enjoying. I beat it.
I mean,
now
it's like the game itself isn't terrible, but it's definitely like it definitely suffers from all the problems that Ubisoft open world games do.
Yeah, there are a lot of broken aspects to it. Like my guy will be wandering around, and I'll be climbing buildings, running just fine, and all of a sudden I'll get to a point where it's like, why aren't you moving? No, this isn't what I'm telling you. No, don't do. What are you doing? God damn you!
I mean, one thing. I mean, I will say that, you know, even now, just the sheer number of characters it puts on the screen, like when you're in the massive crowds. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah.
But it's just like, and you know, the new anime. You know, they redid all the animation for your main character and everything, and it looks really nice. It's but it does make things slower. So. Mm.
What else have you been playing, Rick?
I probably won't play Syndicate until it's offered as like a Xbox. Games with gold or
if I can get it for like $15, when I can get Syndicate for $15, I'll play it because that's about what I paid for Unity. I paid
$5
four was not a terrible game. I just got tired of all the sailing, but like I was like with Unity, I paid $12 for it, and I was just like, Yeah, this wasn't really worth the amount of time I spent.
I've got mine free, and I've quite enjoyed it.
and that's the thing. It's like, if you enjoyed it, that's fantastic. I'm not gonna. He's like, I didn't like it, but I'm not gonna say like you're an awful person for liking it. I'm not that kind of person.
No, I'm
speaking
I'm,
of that.
I mean, there are far. If can we hang on? It's like, if we can be perfectly honest with each other, I think we all know there are far better reasons to call Brake a terrible person than the fact that he likes Assassin's Creed Unity.
he's like harmonic.
Yeah.
What? No, that's not one of them.
Oh my god.
Oh, wait, right. That's right. That's Frank.
You obviously haven't checked up on his criminal record. That shit's a matter of public record. You can see that shit.
I was gonna say you didn't look at my phone. There's definitely some Huey Lewis news on there.
Oh my god.
Hey, I like Huey Lewis news.
How did this
harmonica?
Show,
I'm just saying.
How did this show devolve into Huey Lewis news?
Hang on. Let's just make one thing perfectly clear. Oh my god. It is hip to be square. Okay.
Oh mm-hmm. my god. This is awful. This is the worst show ever. Walk off.
This is the.
How
this
is it awful? Have you ever seen them live? It's amazing.
Here's my rating. Here's my rating of this show.
Oh, Jesus. No, it's way lower than that, man. That's awful.
Is this your rating or is it my rating? It's my rating.
It's my rating.
I do have a new stinko.
Well, you're going to have to wait. Okay. You're going to have to wait, Eric. Did you finish with your games break?
Yeah, I mean, it's all the same stuff. That's the only one there's anything different in. So. All
right.
Yeah.
All right, Mug, what have you been playing?
Actually, you know what? Before you, there's a new gun I unlocked. I don't know if you played the DLC. Did you?
DLC for what?
For Unity.
Oh no, I didn't. Was that the Dead Kings one? That was like
they made
free because of all the problems with the original game.
Yeah, there's a gun in it that has an axe on it, and this gun's basically like a fucking cannon. It blows away every other gun in this game. It makes no sense as far as like historical accuracy, but it's a lot of fun because basically you have a grenade launcher.
Yeah, well, that's always been one of the fun things about Assassin's Creed. It's like, yeah, it's a historical setting, but we're gonna play around with it a little bit.
I think Dungeon Buster's heading for an exile here.
It reminds me of the shotgun axe from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. Which I love, by the way.
All right. Let's see. Mug, what have you been playing?
I actually haven't been playing that much. I tried out the Outlast 2 demo, which is kind of neat. It's one of the weird things about it is that you're not like trapped inside a building. You actually one of the places where you spend the majority is an extremely short demo. But it does some of that non-Euclidean geometry sort of thing where it's like the doors don't always lead to a rational place where like physics dictates they should, but a lot of it takes place in a cornfield, like in a corn, not even a corn maze, where a literal cornfield. And it's like, okay, well, this is neat. I mean, you can get through the demo in about 10 minutes, but it's like, this is kind of neat. I might check it out. It doesn't feel quite as oppressive, just creepier than the original Outlast. So I might check that out. The other thing I played, I picked up Shadow Complex Remastered, which I've played through numerous times on the Xbox 360.
That's a great remastered. Game.
It really is. And plus they had the sale that past weekend where it was, it was only $6 instead of 15. My only complaint is that I look at a game like Strider on the PS4, and it runs at a solid, silky, smooth 60 frames per second at all times. It is a more recent game and more visually, exceptional game than Shadow Complex, which came out in 2008, but the Shadow Complex Remaster does not run at 60 frames per second, and that's ooh. That annoys me.
Yeah,
but even on PC, you think?
I don't know about that, but I do. But regardless, Shadow Complex Remastered is a fantastic game, and if you like Metroidvania stuff at all, you should check it out.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our stinkos. Eric, you had a stinko.
Well, other than my memory card dying, I totally forgot about this until I remembered it. But United Front Games, who made Sleeping Dogs, they're gone now.
Yeah, which sucks because I thought Sleeping Dogs was it kind of came out of nowhere. I was like, holy crap. I got it kind of on a lark when it first came out because it's like, this looks like it could be fun. Holy crap, this is really fun. The only problem I had with the game
yet, but... That's terrible. Oh, when a company goes under.
Oh yeah, but it's like that when I, but it's like basically like with their dissolution, it probably means oh, there's no chance for Sleeping Dogs too, which sucks. But it's like that, the only problem I had with Sleeping Dogs was the girlfriend characters were completely throwaways. Like you go with like on like a mission with each of them. There's like three or four of them. It's like there's... you go on a specific mission with each one, and then they just disappear for the rest of the game. So that sucks because they were funny and they were entertaining, and I wanted to see more of them.
The problem, actually, games don't die when a company goes away. They actually sell some of those assets to regain some of the money that they lost. So you might see
The thing is, in a case like this, the rights to Sleeping Dogs belong to Square Enix, and they're not likely to sell them to anyone. And the odds are good that without their original dev team, we're not going to see another one.
Yeah, possibly. You never know, man.
I mean, it's and that's the thing. It's like, you know, I accept that it's, you know, it may still happen, but it greatly reduces the chances of it happening, which I think it sucks because Sleeping Dogs was one of the best, you know, like modern day open world, like, you know, GTA-ish games. And that's one of the neat things about Sleeping Dogs is that there are almost no guns in the game. Most of the combat is martial arts based, and it all, you know, and it's like, oh, this is a, it's a very solid, slightly clunky, but a very solid game engine.
You ever played Jade Empire, Mung?
I played the fuck out of Jade Empire.
That was another game that you used a lot of martial arts like technique type shit. That was
Well, this was more. What's weird is that, you know, it. The combat, I don't know if you've ever played any of the Assassin's Creed's post, from Assassin's Creed 3 onward, where it's like, it's a less refined version of like the Arkham Asylum combat.
But it's still
really fun. And that's basically how combat mostly works in Hong Kong because, you know, rather than Sleeping Dogs, because they're involved, almost, you know, guns are rare in Hong Kong.
I don't even think
you get anything more powerful than a pistol.
Yeah. Well, let's move on, guys. Breakman, your stinko this week.
I've got like a billion, so I really just limited it to two. My dog has been sick.
Ooh, not good.
I guess Saturday morning I noticed like she started throwing up, and I think it was basically an allergy to the food I got her. Either we didn't blend it enough and we did it kind of too soon, which has never been a problem because we've switched her food before and we've never had that problem. Or she's allergic to beef because we've never tried beef before and then this time we switched to beef and she's been sick most of the week. Today she looks – and this is kind of my sweeto. She is feeling a lot better today. She's been more like herself. And we've been switching her food back to what we had to switch her diet to like basically chicken and rice to get her healthy again. And
it seems to be working. When you first said that your dog, it's like my dog's been sick and has been throwing up. I'm like, fuck, she didn't eat something that she couldn't digest. Did she? It's like I would much rather it be an allergic reaction than something like she ate something that she's either going to have surgery for or she's going to die. So it's like in most cases. Most people can't afford to do $3,000 on surgery on a dog, so it's like this dog has to be put down. It's like, please tell me that's not the case. But I'm glad to hear that it isn't.
My dog actually got – I should have put that in my stinko. My dog actually has like this thing where they're crated. My dog is crated. Like his tail like just went kind of limp. I don't know. It's just kind of weird, but he's slowly getting better. But I guess it's a thing with basset hounds. Like, if you crate them, like, they, you know, sometimes they get this, like, tail fatigue thing. So it's weird.
Dogs are weird animals. They've always got some weird problems.
Yeah. Speaking of dogs, did you see the thing about how apparently, like, it's been discovered what dogs dream about?
No.
They tend to dream of their humans' faces.
How weird.
Because that's what they're focused on. They're genetically, you know, built to look like they can read human expressions and, you know, they can understand that kind of thing. It's like they basically they do the same thing that humans do, only in a more primitive sense. We think about, you know, we dream about the things that we think about normally, but in a less controlled state. And humans think about, or rather dogs think about human faces, like their master's faces. And so that's what they dream about. I'm like, that's incredibly sweet and aw.
All right.
It's the kind of news that makes you want to go hug your dog, is basically what I'm getting at.
Yeah. I'm glad she's feeling better because she, I mean, she's slowly coming around, came around, but now that we still haven't completely switched her back to the old food that we're giving her. Because it's always been like either chicken or turkey or something like that.
And you can also try like a lamb, a lamb base.
I've tried lamb too. Beef was a new thing. I never tried beef, so because I've switched her food so many times, I think it was more likely a beef allergy.
Could be.
Anyway, all right. My other stinko goes to unexpected guests.
Well, fuck them.
Yeah. Normally, I'm cool with people coming over. I'd rather people come over than me go somewhere else because I'm lazy. But last weekend, we got a call from some of Jill's distant relatives asking if they could come over. These relatives
Jill live Stein? Jill Stein?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Breakman.
Not too late now.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'll give you credit. This is the first time you've ever flubbed that I've noticed.
Yeah, I had a little bit to drink today because today has also been a stinko day, but I'm not going to even talk about that. So anyway.
Mrs. Breakman's biggest stinko day, her wedding date.
her distant relatives give us a call and say, hey, can we come over? That's all right. Yeah, that's fine. Her distant relatives live a couple hours away. They just happen to be in town and, you know, they're like, can we come over? Like, what the fuck? Why didn't you even.
You're breaking up there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. She was saying they were in town for something else and then they just called us and asked to come over. But I don't care. That's cool. Everybody can come over. And I was busy doing stuff and I come out to a kid climbing up my cat tree. I'm like,
how big
fuck?
Is this kid?
This kid's probably 4 or 5 years old. Three. Oh, she's just 3 years old. Three or four, whatever.
Jesus, you want to just tell him, curb your child.
Well, see, that, and then that's the thing. This child was completely out of control. Like, I was busy doing stuff, and I'm like, okay, where are you people going to say anything about the kid climbing the tree?
It's like, no, I want him to discover it. Discover it!
No, it's not even that bad.
How about he discovers my foot upside his head? My foot upside her head.
Yeah, but I was doing laundry and everything else, and every time I come in here, this kid was doing something else, like grabbing things, picking them up, and nobody was saying anything. It got to the point where I finally started yelling at the kid.
Yeah,
like stop doing. No, don't do that. That's... And I started taking things out of her hand. And meanwhile, the adults who brought her there. Just watched.
That sounds very much like the kind of parents who just don't really pay attention and don't care to correct their kids. Yeah. And it's like, you know, if that's the way, if that's your parenting style, fine, but don't bring the kid over here.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. So it got to the point where basically I started yelling at her when I caught her playing in the food dish of the pets.
God. Yeah.
I'm like, are you flipping kidding me? Like, I gave her things. Like, I went down in the basement and went through, like, some totes and got out some toys and shit and gave her some old toys to play with. No, that didn't even distract her.
But, dude, it doesn't have a screen and it's not electronic.
I know. Well, I turned the TV on. That didn't really distract her either.
Yeah, but here's the question. It's like, will it run Minecraft? No, then I'm not interested.
No, she was younger than that, but she was basically just running wild through the house, and I'm just like, what the fuck? And later on, I found out after they left that one of them was so lazy that instead of getting up to stop the girl from doing something, because she was randomly grabbing stuff off the table and stuff like that, she moved my laptop. She moved my laptop right next to a burning candle.
Oh, no.
Mrs. Breakman caught it in time. Thank God. These people, like, oh my God, like, this kid is climbing cat trees. He is scared, or she is scaring my dog. Doing other things.
Cat trees are built to support, you know, several cats' weight. It's not support, you know, not built to support a child, and they're fucking expensive.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Like, at the bare minimum for a half decent cat tree, you're spending $100.
Yeah.
All right. I found out about a lot of the other stuff she was doing when I wasn't in the room too. Like just randomly picking stuff up, putting it in her mouth, or apparently she kicked at my dog at some point. And no point that any of these people
No. You do that. It's like I think it's time for you to leave.
I didn't see that happen. So.
Oh.
I might have fucked up.
That's the kind of shit. Like, you fuck with my animals. You know. Yeah. I get irritated with the animals and stuff, and I'm not always oh, how are you doing? Huh? But my buddy, that kind of thing. But yeah. It's like, if you harm my animals, you will either leave my place of residence or I will hurt you.
Oh my God. I know.
It's like a sibling relationship. Basically, like, we're allowed to tell each other to fuck off, but if you fucking tell any of my siblings to fuck off, you're fucking dead.
Yeah.
Nobody beats up on my sister but me.
Note to self, if you mess with Mug's animals, he will kick you out of the house and you don't have to deal with them any longer. Okay, got it. All right. Mug, you're
stinko. No, that's not how it works. You either get out or I hurt you. There's a difference.
All right. Mug, you're stinkos.
Me being me, I'm pretty much constantly depressed. And that's a bit of a pain. And there have been a few things that aggravated it, and a few things that haven't. But it's not.
What did
it's
you?
It's not
break,
all bad.
Did you break your wrist? Like what's going on?
I suffer from clinical depression. So yeah. And just my whole situation.
Like that might have been a funny joke had we not been talking about something very serious.
Yeah.
Frank.
Oh my God.
All kidding aside, it's like I'm clinically depressed. I'm going through a divorce and things are not fantastic. And so it's just like, all right. But I mean, I'm still standing, I'm when I wake up, I can look down at the ground instead of up at it. So I'm doing okay.
Yeah. Well, that's good, man. Hang in there, Mug. I always tell you to hang in there, man.
If I could fast forward to around closer to the beginning of spring, I would be thrilled.
Yeah.
And Frank knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it'll get there, man. Just hang in there. I'm actually looking forward to the springtime for different things too. But it just takes time.
Not because of me. Yes, you're not looking to springtime because of me. Bitch, I will end you.
Fuck that, man. All right.
I will make your life better in every possible way. Well, not every possible way. Let me clarify that. This is awful, man.
You keep inserting your foot in your mouth like every time you talk.
Not generally, but I will freely concede that I definitely did it that time. Like, whoa, let me correct
myself.
All
right, let's move on to my
stinko. I thought we were talking about completely different things because I was saying, every... I've done it before, but it's not like something that I enjoy. Just I did it because she liked it.
Like the foot fetishism thing. That is honestly, and cutting, like you're using like knife play and actually drawing blood with that kind of thing. Like those are like hard limits for me. It's like fuck, because I don't, I worry about hurting, like genuinely hurting people, and feet are fucking gross.
Right. They are. Like I said, just because, this was a long time ago. This was not Mr.
All right, let me move on to my stinko, guys.
So what has it been with Mrs. Breakman?
All right.
Anyway, continue.
Nothing like that because she agrees with me.
Yeah. Okay. Freak 5 is exiled once again. Let's see. Okay, on to my stinko, guys. Jill Stein. All right, I want to talk a little bit about Jill Stein and her – Mug, you've made mention of the fact that Jill Stein is – kind of nutty, like
Did you see that episode or the story? It's on YouTube now. It's one of the John Oliver's Last Week Tonight.
I'm getting
where
there.
He dissected there. The Gary Johnson and Jill Stein stuff.
I'm getting there.
Okay,
trying to get there.
Okay, no. So, I'm not trying to give you a hard time about it. I'm just asking if that was going to be something you knew about.
Let me explain. All right, my problem.
Although she is, Jill Stein is still better than Dragon Quest VIII. Hoorah!
Definitely not, man. There's no question about that. Jill Stein, I think, is an awful candidate because she leaves doubt when there is no doubt about vaccines. And it's especially sad because she's a fucking doctor. And I think it's incredibly dangerous. As much as we talk about Donald Trump being dangerous and some of the shit that he's said recently, which I'll get into in a little bit, I think Jill Stein is almost as dangerous. But what I have a problem this week is with her Twitter followers. Like, I mean, one of them is Jimmy Dore. And I'm not a huge fan of Jimmy Dore on the Young Turks. I think he crossed the line when he spit on Alec Jones, and he's a big Jill Stein supporter. And I tweeted him about, you know, just kind of casually about how I think that it's really irresponsible of Jill Stein to not back science and, you know, stuff like that. And, of course, I got, you know, Dore's wrath. He's like, I'm sorry you bought the propaganda about her. I don't believe it's propaganda. I think there's plenty of evidence to show and prove that Jill Stein is not a big science person. She is right on climate change. You know, she wants to do some good things there. But when it comes to stuff like vaccines and other, you know, scientific, like, facts, as close as you can get to facts anyways with science, she's iffy. She's wishy-washy, and you can't be that way. You have to, you know, if you're into science, then you have to, you know, fully accept, like, what the vast majority of people in the scientific community, you know, with research and you know, facts have on their side. I mean, it's like climate change. I can't stand the climate change people that disavow it. Like, climate change is real, and that's something that Jill Stein is excellent at promoting, right? Like, she's, you know, trying to change
the world. I think everyone has at some point had a good point, basically.
Right.
I understand Jill Stein's thing. She wants to, you know, do something to eliminate student debt and stop making use of students as cash machines for corporations. And I agree with that. Okay. But she has no idea what the fuck she's talking about.
Well, that's what I'm getting into here, Mug. Let me finish this. Like, I caught so much shit on Twitter because after the John Oliver episode, which was the last episode of John Oliver, he basically took Jill Stein to task on just what I'm saying. Like you can't be wishy-washy on vaccinations. It's dangerous. You know, there's enough information out there to tell you it doesn't cause autism, et cetera, right? And, of course, Jill Stein's campaign went into a tizzy when John Oliver did this, and John Oliver did his due diligence. He called them and he asked them, and, you know, he got all the information he needed, and he said what he said. But Jill Stein's response was, you know, I'm disappointed that he decided to take that stance, and, you know, we have multiple.
Oh, you mean calling you on your shit?
Right. But she, her response was ridiculous because she said she had more options, but she didn't. And this is in regards to student debt. Like, her idea was to have the Federal Reserve just basically give a, what do they call it? Not stimulus, but like a bailout.
What she wants is like quantitative easing.
Quantitative easing. Yes. That. Thanks, Mug. I couldn't think of the term. And quantitative. John Oliver did a really good thing on it about quantitative easing, basically relieving student debt from people that have student debt.
And just to interject, just so that other people can see this, if you look up John Oliver third party candidates on YouTube, you'll see the bit that he did.
Yeah. So, and you can easily look up John Oliver that segment and find it, but. So I went kind of on the offensive after that, and boy, the backlash that I got, man. People were saying, you know, you're speaking out of turn, you don't know what you're talking about, and I'm like, I don't get it. Like she, this woman has no, she has as much policy proposals as fucking Donald Trump. And if you don't believe me, look at their proposals side by side, and it's a lot of the same bullshit, you know, so... All these people.
Oh yeah, she described quantitative easing as a magic trick.
Yes, a magic trick. Yeah, whatever.
That's not how it works. And just because you don't understand how it works, doesn't mean that there are other people that nobody else does.
Yeah. So, her followers, which include Jimmy Dore from the Young Turks, are I think, a little overboard and ridiculous in thinking that Jill Stein would be the absolute fucking savior to, you know, help in our economy and help in our you know, climate change.
That's the thing. Like, she's on, you know, in ethically, I would say she's, you know, she's fairly well in line with Bernie. But the difference there is Bernie is an experienced politician. He knows what he's talking about. Jill Stein has no fucking clue.
Jill Stein is brilliant in certain ways, and she's absolutely fucking stupid in other ways. I mean, I can't say the same about Donald Trump. He's just stupid, right? He's not a good businessman.
Jill Stein is not qualified to be a politician.
No. She's not. She's qualified to be a good political activist. I would say that. Like, she, you know, she went to the Dakota Pipeline Project and, you know, she had a lot of good points there, and I agree with some of what
she
said.
And good for her.
But good for her.
She doesn't need to be on the presidential ticket.
Right. I don't think she's qualified to be president. Just like I don't think that idiot Gary Johnson is qualified. Like, the minute that somebody mentioned Kim Jong-un and he had no idea, or he couldn't even name a leader that he admired, like, that should automatically disqualify you. Like, that, to me, that's ridiculous.
Well, I don't know about that. Like, I look around the world, as so many leaders are terrible right now. Like,
but the thing is, he couldn't even name one from the past.
Look, right. Like,
okay, that's fucked up.
He couldn't name anybody that he admired as a world leader. And that's ridiculous. Like, I mean, he couldn't have brought up, like past people, like, I don't know, Vicente Fox from Mexico or Nelson Mandela. Like, come on, man. Like,
he didn't know what Aleppo was.
He didn't know what Aleppo was, which was ridiculous. Like,
that's something I was arguing with.
I don't know what Aleppo is either.
Aleppo is a city in Syria that is dealing with a shitload of people being killed.
Yeah,
and my point in chat was
that's something that a politician should know. Then,
that's kind of my point in chat. If you want to be the president of the United States, it's important for me and you. It's not. Look, like, we don't really need to know Aleppo.
If
you want to be the president of the country, you gotta expect questions like that. You need to be prepared.
To pull this back to Jill Stein, if anybody doesn't believe me that Jill Stein does not know what she's talking about, just look at her policies. Look on her website and look at her policies, what she plans to do. First of all, she has no idea how she's going to get rid of student debt. Like, quantitative easing is not the answer, right? She doesn't even know what that entails, to be perfectly frank.
Quantitative easing is fucking complicated.
Yeah.
Sure as hell don't know how it all works. No. Like, you're not an economist. You don't know how it works.
And if you look – I looked at economists.
The thing with economists is if you look at economy and look at economists' predictions, you're going to get a fucking completely different range of projections.
Yeah. On to another candidate. I mean, we've already talked about Dildo Johnson and Nutjob Stein. On to,
we're talking Turd Sandwich and Giant Douche?
That's Mr. Garrison and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Yes. I thought that's where we're going.
Donald Trump, all right? He's a complete moron. I happen to agree with Jimmy Dore on a lot of things. Like, I think the latest polls have him about 17% or 18% chance of getting the White House, which is astounding. Like, I can't even believe he has a chance, even any chance, to get into the White House. But what's even worse about Donald Trump is his rhetoric about a rigged election, right? I know what he's thinking, right? He's thinking,
he's trying to sow doubt, but I mean, more than that,
he's not that smart, Mug. Hold on, let me explain what Donald Trump is doing. He has a massive ego, right? Donald Trump has such a massive ego that he's trying to come up excuses for his loss, right? He's telegraphing that he's going to lose. All the polls show that Donald is massively, massively not going to win the president. He's not going to be the president-elect for sure. Some people are talking about 350 to 400 electoral votes for Hillary, which is outstanding. I say what you will about Hillary, but that's pretty impressive because she's not really well liked, you know. And I think that's part.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things. Like whenever people are like, "Oh, it's like Trump." It's like if you encounter someone talking about Trump, ask them, okay. So what specifically about Trump's credentials, you know, make him qualified? And I don't want to hear a single thing about Hillary or her husband. Right. They will inevitably deflect or shut down.
Oh, you know what they'll say? He's a great businessman. And if we ran the country like he ran his business, we'd be better off. I saw
a great Twitter post about that that said Paris Hilton made more of her of the money that she got from being born into wealth than Trump did.
There's no question about it, man. Like, he is a hack. He's a business hack, and you don't have to ask anybody but other billionaires about Donald Trump, right? Ask Richard Branson about Donald Trump.
Anybody that he's worked with.
Yeah.
People are like, Trump screwed me over. Trump screwed me over. Trump grabbed my pussy. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a simple fact. He's a terrible businessman and, by all evidence, a terrible fucking person.
Right. But this is not what I'm on Donald's case for.
I'm not trying to get you off track.
That's right. What I'm on his case for, because we could sit there all day. He definitely is an awful human being. There's no question about that. He's basically admitted to sexually assaulting women, which is absolutely outrageous and should have easily disqualified him from the race, right? But his rhetoric about rigged elections undermines the very, very basic tenet of democracy, right? And that's the peaceful transfer of power. Whether you like him or you fucking hate him, you have to, or, you know, hate the person, you have to admit that you lost. That way the country is quelled.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the thing. It's like his whole thing about, I don't know if, like, when the election results come in, basically, like, if I win, I'll accept the result of the election. I'm like, you were literally undermining the foundational pillars that support democracy.
Right.
Like, you are a dangerous human being.
He's super dangerous when he talks like that, because let's say even 5 to 10% are the hardest of hardcore Donald Trump supporters, right? I think it's maybe a little bit higher, but let's say even 5 to 10%. That's millions of people after the election that could be hostile, right? And that's ridiculous.
Dangerously hostile.
Dangerously hostile. And that leads to racism and, you know, people being violent with each other
But the thing is, Frank, it's more than that. He is literally fomenting a people's revolt against our democracy.
And you know, like,
what the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm all for revolutions, right? Like, that's what the founding fathers basically said. If the government sucks, you know, you have a right to rebel and revolution might be necessary when the government becomes too much, you know, but not this way. You know, this is ridiculous because you're a sore loser. You want to incite violence and incite these people and rile them up and make them think that this is the right thing to do because you're upset with the outcome of an election. I mean, I know that Hillary is not ideal, right? But she's definitely not a dictator, right?
For my part, it's like, you know, it's like the same question I asked for. What, based on purely his merits as the candidate, why do you support Trump? You know, I'm not 100% happy with Hillary, like, but she's, you know, I'm in line with her stances on the issues about 90%. And her qualifications are demonstrably better than any of the other four, of the other three that are currently in the field.
Actually, like, currently up for Johnson comes close. I know that's surprising, but he actually comes close.
He has the political experience, but he doesn't know. Like, he would make a terrible president. He is thoroughly ignorant of so many aspects of just, like, high-level politics.
Right. Freak 5 said something interesting. He said, the problem with running our country like a business is that the most successful businessmen have had plenty of failures. That's exactly right. Like, you know, sometimes you have to fail before you get something right. And it's not worth risking our entire country on your, quote, business principles. You know, it's not – plus, If I'm going with a billionaire, if I'm following a billionaire, it's definitely not going to be Trump. First of all, I don't think he's a billionaire. And second of all, he's failed so miserably at everything he's ever done.
Yeah, Trump so University, many of his projects have just gone.
Trump University, down the Trump fucking drain. Tower, Trump casinos. Of all things, you lose in a casino? Yeah, the house always wins. Yeah, always.
Like, for a casino, how do you lose money on a casino?
There's
like where something where by default, 99% of the people that come in there leave with less money than they came in with.
Yeah. he's bigly, that's for sure. He's definitely bigly. And my final stinko.
Oh my god, the freaking debates. It's like I didn't watch. I was like, I could only watch the first one.
I watched all of them, but
I watched a few minutes of the second one, and it's just like, and he's doing exactly what people make fun of him for. It's basically like the best of this, the best of that. We're gonna have the greatest people, the best of this. You know, it's like you won't like quote unquote believe me. And it's like I may have mentioned this before, but it's like I know like one of the most basic things they tell you in job interviews. Mm-hmm. You don't use phrases like honestly. Believe me, and to be honest, to be frank, whatever, because it makes you sound insincere in literally literally every other aspect of everything you say.
Yeah,
Trump does this shit constantly.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to anybody. He does things his own way. He's not a good politician at all. But the other thing I want to mention on my stinkos before we move on to Sweetos is the DDoS attack on the internet today, which is probably the reason
that.
Yeah, it's stupid. Like, have you guys ever been involved in a DDoS, like, closer? I know Black Wolf had a DDoS attack or threatened on him, and he was like, oh, man. I don't
get the fucking point.
It's just to cause havoc. That's all, man.
It's a power play, dude. Yeah. I mean, that's really all it is.
People want
to cause problems. Yeah, it's like, but I was asking, like, I spoke to my stepdaughter today. It's like, have you tried being on Skype? Has it worked for you? It's like, I don't know, I haven't tried. And I was like, yeah, because there's a big thing going on where a shit ton of sites aren't working. Like Twitter was down, PayPal was down, Netflix was down this morning, and you know all this other stuff. So I don't like if Skype doesn't work, then we can't do the show.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. Well,
also, today was the day of Battlefield 1 release, so that might be another thing. Mm-hmm. People wouldn't be able.
Yeah,
to
but no, like we're talking about an honest to goodness DDoS attack on DynDNS, which is like one of the primary name server things.
This took down Netflix and Twitter and some other thing. Yeah. Other big.
This was not Spotify. We don't like this particular site. Let's fuck them up. It's like we want to fuck up the internet. So let's attack essentially like one of the two central hubs that controls US access to all of these sites.
Dungeon Mother,
as opposed to going after just Twitter, they're like, well, we're going to go bigger and fuck with everyone.
Yeah, I mean that fucked with like as a minor league example. I tried to go to polygon.com to look up news sites. It's one of the things I check every day. See like do they have any interesting news stories or reviews or whatever. I couldn't get to it.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster's itching for an exile, man. He's like President Harmonica. He's going to write in the harmonica. That's awful, man. Like anything that like
is,
that.
That is a fantastic idea, Dungeon Buster. I give you a...
Oh, God. Anything but harmonica 2020 is going to be my motto from now on. All right.
That is the new show. That is the new name of ABC's news magazine show. It's going to be 2020 Harmonica.
Yeah, I think that's best suited for Trump TV, man. Yeah,
no, I don't think so. I think it is something that everyone needs to be exposed to at least 12 times in their life.
Ugh, awful.
Freak says he had no problem with Netflix. Where are you at, Freak? Because this was specifically on the East Coast. Like I'm in Iowa, and I had no problems with anything.
Like, I think Netflix is certain that like, core servers are on the West Coast, and I think there's May East and May West. And I think like basically it was like May East that was fucked with. So if you were on the East Coast trying to get to something on the West Coast, you weren't going to be able to.
I did have trouble going to pay my bills this morning for my car insurance, but it worked after a while.
Yeah. D. Wing says he has a problem with Twitter. I wasn't on Twitter the whole day.
Oh,
like,
my
God.
Twitter was
I was on and off, so Twitter I might have missed problems.
Twitter's was toast, man. My Squiddle, real quickly, is Nintendo announced the Nintendo Switch, which will
I want to know what you called that again.
Nintendo Switch.
No, before that.
Nintendo Switch, man.
No. Which it was a Sweeto in the most of us, but you said something else.
Sweeto of the week. But we will be talking a little bit about it, just briefly about it coming up. We don't have a lot of details, so
I've been completely distracted. I have no details on this.
Yeah,
I know nothing.
Club
Moria, your Sweeto.
Well, as you guys know, there was an accident a few weeks ago. It was a car accident, so the car was totaled out. We had to take it down to the assessors. And everything. I was like, okay. I mean, I wasn't expecting to get much out of it at all because it was a 2003 Saturn Ion that I bought in like September of 2002, like when they were brand new.
Wow.
And, but as it turns out, things are in much better shape than I thought they'd be, and I'll be getting significantly about a little over three times what I thought I'd be getting out of the thing. So like that'll make things getting a new car much easier.
Yeah. Well, that's good, man. That's really good, Mug.
One other thing that what was funny is that I was talking to the insurance adjuster, and she said, well, one thing that's in your favor is that they looked at the engine and the transmission. They said it was dealer ready.
Huh.
Which I was like, and she's like, I've never seen that on a car this old.
Can you?
Because it was a.
Can you still drive it around?
Oh, I can still drive it around, but I can still get ticketed because it's missing the front left lighting assembly and turn signal.
God damn, dude. If you could fix that on the cheap, man, and get that
insurance. Yeah, but that's the problem. I can't. It's like it would cost like $2,500 to fix it.
Ugh. All right.
Yeah. Can you get away with just using like hand turn signals?
No, I mean they can still ticket you for that, especially if you've only got one headlight.
That sucks. Yeah. That really sucks, man. All right. Anything else, Mug?
There's something I was going to say.
Something about Glenn Beck.
Oh yeah. I don't know if you guys ever listened to Cognitive Dissonance, the podcast.
Yeah,
but Glenn Beck was this massive proponent of Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an interview where Ted Cruz came back on his show and essentially took like, why are you fucking endorsing Trump? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And it's like, you listen to this interview and it's like, Glenn Beck is furious with Cruz for, for doing this. And it's like, at the RNC, you had integrity. You said, vote your conscience.
Right.
It's like, you didn't kowtow to the party and say, my support is with Trump because he's the nominee. It's like you showed some backbone for once in your fucking life. This is Cruz we're talking about.
Yeah.
This to try and save his career, but
but it's just like, Glenn Beck laid the fuck into him. It's like everything you're telling me is the same shit you knew when the primaries ended and you were like, going up against Trump, and you said all this this shit about, this is what an awful person Trump is. Well, this is why he does not deserve to be the candidate.
For
a few months later to go, I'm going to vote for Trump. Yeah. And it's like, and it was just, it's weird that I should be cheering Glenn Beck on for anything. Glenn Beck was like, I am not having this shit. I believed in you. I supported you through thick and thin. And then you turn and you support Trump. Because Trump is a fucking awful person. It's like, holy crap. Glenn Beck is actually is actually showing integrity.
He's – God. I would say yes, but he's not doing it for integrity's sake. You know why he's doing it, Mug? The Blaze, his stupid-ass conservative network.
I don't know, man. It's like if you saw this interview, it's like – actually the Cognitive Dissonance guys, they liken it to that scene where you're like – do you mean to tell me that the drug czar is telling the guy, saying, do you mean to tell me the TSA just reached up your ass and pulled out three balloons of coke? That's my fucking money. I'm like, that's Glenn Beck's role in here. I mean, he is not backing down. It's like, I'm going to chew you a new goddamn asshole for what you did.
Look, the reason that he did it is because the Blaze is fucking going up in flames for, better...
I don't think that's necessarily the truth. I mean, don't get me wrong.
In that case, it might be that it's going up in flames, so he doesn't care anymore. Because I've been in a position where a company's been going out of business, and there's like, you know, like, I could do this, but you're really not, like, treating me well at this point. So I don't fucking care anymore.
Yeah. I mean, well, the thing is, basically, like, you think about the Bernie bros who are like, Bernie or bust, Bernie or bust. Glenn Beck was Cruz or bust, and Cruz fucking let him down. And it's just like, you listen to this interview, and it's like, Glenn Beck is not fucking happy. And he's just like, you know, I believed in you. You betrayed me. And I'm not letting you back off of this.
I saw something interesting about Fox News along these lines, that the new people in charge of Fox News are wanting to make it more, you know,
like a news station,
unbiased, instead
of Republican propaganda.
Right. In order to do that, they need to get rid of O'Reilly and Hannity. But, you know, that's for a different day.
O'Reilly.
At least O'Reilly and Hannity don't have the amount of power that Ailes did.
Yeah. If there's anyone on this planet who lacks integrity, it's O'Reilly.
Oh, God. O'Reilly's the worst, man. He's I wish so bad that I could talk to O'Reilly about anything, because he doesn't know a fucking thing about anything, man. He just makes up shit as he goes along. And his books are fucking ridiculous, too, man.
I bet.
They're
awful. They're probably like the what's his name? That guy who had the weight loss book, but he's a fat guy. What's his name? The psychologist? The doctor?
Dr. Phil?
Dr. Phil. Yeah, that guy.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's move on.
It has things like weight loss books, but I mean, it has the nerve to have things like weight loss books.
Yeah. All right, we have to move on. Break your sweeto.
Okay, one goes to, like I said, my dog is feeling better, and that's good. The other goes to Freak 5 Chaos. He knows what he did.
Oh, I got to hear the story on this. What did Freak 5 do?
No, there's just – I didn't want to say it on the air.
I hear a zipper was involved. And
that's what I'm thinking.
He gave me something. The knee pads were broken out. How about this, Maury? He gave me something, and I really enjoyed it.
Oh!
So basically what you're saying is Break's dick is all like –
Oh, God. Get out of here, son of a bitch. Why is everything got to be about the harmonica? Jesus Christ, I'm walking off this.
If you didn't make a big, honestly, Frank, if you didn't make a big deal out about the harmonica, I wouldn't do it nearly as much. Oh,
God, this is awful. I'm walking off the show. Eric, save us, please. Your sweeto.
My sweeto?
Yes.
excuse me. But I guess it would be that fans are modding the Ocarina of Time to be Link's Awakening.
Yeah.
This is from Silly String Rera, but it says, two Legend of Zelda fans have taken on the daunting task of recreating the world of Link's Awakening, originally for the Game Boy Color, by using the engine from the Ocarina of Time. Hold on, there's a rollover ad.
Oh. Yeah, it's. I saw something about this. It's a ROM hack. It's not like a new engine, or like it's not like a total, you know, bottom up recreation like say AM2R was. And the nice thing about this, like, there's a risk of it being but Nintendo has generally been more accepting of ROM hacks than of brand new fan games for some reason.
Probably because you have to go through the trouble of actually getting the ROM and then patching it and making sure it runs.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe and that's one thing that I noticed when I watched the trailer for this. I never played through Link's Awakening, but it's one thing I noticed when I watched the trailer for this. They're like, you know, this is made from this game and this game. You can buy them now on the eShop. Please do so and support the, you know, the creators. That's another thing that'll
help them out. They're telling people to buy the games that you can get on the eShop.
Link's Awakening may be my favorite Zelda game.
A lot of people apparently feel that way.
Yeah.
I love Link's Awakening.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, again, there's that misgiving on my part. It's like, God damn it. I wish you wouldn't like pre-announce this shit, because you run the risk. It's Nintendo. They may CND you. But I hope they complete it. I hope it works out. And I hope
it looks a little rough right now, because some of the places look like they just have a basic texture slapped on top of them.
I'm wondering if it gets CND. That would be an interesting tidbit of information. So that's cool. Right on. All right. Anything else on that, Eric?
No, other than the fact that they've been working on it for about a year.
Eric, can you hold off on your review till next week, or do you want – are you itching?
I can wait because I'll do Batman and Robin as well, yeah. So why not?
All right. Free for all this week, guys. We're going to be talking the Nintendo Switch. Interesting console to start. We don't have any specs, so this is going to be a real brief overview of the console, what we think of it, etc. Basically, it's two controllers on the side of a tablet that you can take on the go with you. They showed a little bit of the new Zelda game. They showed a Mario game. They showed a basketball game. They even interestingly showed Skyrim running pretty smooth from what I can tell on it,
I will say one thing that and people are like, oh, the frame rate on this looked bad. I'm like, okay, the what you're seeing on the screen itself, it's probably mock-up added in post-production.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't look at that and say like, oh, Breath of the Wild is going to run like shit on the Switch.
I'm no,
like,
you can't.
You don't fucking know that. It's like you're seeing like – a thoroughly edited, produced piece of video.
Do you know of any Nintendo first party games that ran like shit when they launched the system? I can't think of any. So
no, and then Nintendo will sacrifice like things like aliasing or anti-aliasing so they can get 60 frames if they think they can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll be perfectly honest, I don't think that's necessarily a bad approach.
Yeah, because I don't either.
A smooth frame rate is more important to me than super pretty graphics.
I totally agree.
Or things like hands going to walls.
Yeah. I totally agree because I think and I've railed on this. I've been on this 60 frame per second thing since the Dreamcast. I mean, the Dreamcast did it. I mean, there's no reason why modern systems shouldn't be able to do that very consistently. I think we're finally getting to that point where, you know, that's going to be something that people really latch on to is the 60 frames per second.
And like what I was saying before we actually started the show proper, I'll reiterate what I said. It's like the Switch looks like a really, really cool piece of technology that would have blown my mind 10 years ago.
I don't care if it's not going to blow my mind. I just...
Yeah.
I'm still excited for it.
I feel the same as Eric.
Maybe not us gamers, but the public at large. I think what Nintendo's trying to do, I think they're trying to take that Wii audience that they built with the Wii and advance them to the next step of gaming.
Yeah. One thing I will give them full credit for, they were much better about, like, this is the Nintendo Switch. Like, there can be absolutely no, there can actually be absolutely be no miscommunication or mistaking the fact that this is a brand new console that we are marketing to you.
Yeah.
It's not an add on for the console.
Yeah, they listen to somebody wisely.
Eyes to connect it to me.
Yeah.
I will say that the controller, like the basic one that they made up that looks like that has the puppy dog ears, it looks like a Sony Aibo. It's like it looks like a puppy, but it's like it's cool and like and as much as like I'm very dubious about its chances for like widespread success in the United States. I think it'll probably do really well in Japan, but I hope I'm wrong.
I think you're going to be wrong for this reason, Mug. And I talked to you a little bit about it off air before we came on the air. I think there's a couple reasons why it's going to succeed. I think it's going
to
succeed.
Also, they're not advertising it to kids. That preview had nothing but adults in it. So,
I think it's going to succeed because A, it's going to be more of a multiplayer gamer type thing, like competitive gaming thing. I think that's what they're angling for this year, and I think that's going to be something that's underplayed. That's going to really, really hammer home why this system is different and better. All right.
It's also got one thing
I noticed in their advertising campaigns that really kind of helps cement this. Like, okay, we've learned our lessons from the Wii U. They are really touting their third party support.
Yeah. See, that's what I was going to bring up now. Like now, I'm looking at the list of partners here. To name a few,
it's only a handful too.
Yeah, it's only a handful. I mean,
this is the console market. We know by now that the console market lives or dies on third-party support.
Yeah, right. I mean,
the GameCube is a great system, but it had horrible third-party support, and that's mostly why it died.
Yeah, and the GameCube was a great system. I love that system. I think it's
underrated. Like, what's weird is that The controller, the GameCube controller was great for some things and not great for others. Like fighting games, it was terrible for. But for just general adventure games and stuff, stuff that was designed with a controller in mind, like the Metroid Prime games, like it was phenomenal for that purpose.
So yeah, it's great. Like I'm looking at some of the partners here. It looks like Activision's on board, which is that's a huge one right there. Bethesda, Atlas,
Namco. Is EA on board?
Which one?
EA.
EA is on board. Ubisoft, From Software, Sega, Konami, like all the big ones. Capcom, Bethesda.
Wait, Konami's on there?
Yep, Konami's on there. Bethesda's on there.
Gee, I didn't know they were still making games.
They'll make slots
or something.
Interestingly,
will we have Castlevania with erotic violence?
Yeah, exactly. Square
Enix. Hit the lever.
Square Enix.
Well, Konami might just be doing virtual console shit.
Yeah. At least. All right. Let me list you a couple more here, guys. Then we can discuss this further. Square Enix is on there. Ubisoft, as mentioned, Warner Brothers. People like discount Warner Brothers, but Warner Brothers is like a huge video game maker.
Yeah, WBID is a big deal. Like they did the Shadow of Mordor, and they're the people who are behind the Batman Arkham series and everything. So like, if you can get them on board, then
I didn't see AA or Exodus, but they might not just be on that current list.
Level 5's on there, who created the greatest game of all time. From Software made Ninja Gaiden 2? No, they did not. Get out of here. interestingly, From Software, and I think From Software
was Koei on there. I didn't see it.
I didn't see Koei on there. I'm sure they'll come aboard too. From Software is the most interesting one from my perspective because I think those are the guys that did like Demon Souls.
From Software, and then now also
maybe we'll get a Metal Wolf Chaos sequel and be on the Switch.
Yeah,
that would be funny as hell. But what's interesting is though, like if they were to announce like here's a collection. Well, actually, they wouldn't be able to do like Demon Souls with Dark Souls because of licensing issues. Yeah. But if they get here's Dark Souls 1 through 3 with all DLC included. You're going to get a lot of people because Dark Souls is very popular. You know, it's this weird combination of like of niche and super popular. But if they get that, it's like great. There you have something that will draw people in.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited for the system.
I have a creepy suspicion about how the Wii U even came to existence.
I think
it was the prototype for the Switch, and the Switch is what they've been working on all along. But they need money to survive, so they decided to sell a prototype to the public.
I would agree with you, except for the Wii was a huge hit, and they were living off the money of the Wii still. Like they were able to weather the failure of the Wii U because of how much money they made from the Wii.
Telltale Games is on there. That's interesting. Codemasters, Activision, 505 Games. They've got tons of support. So if there's no reason,
Don't get me wrong. It's like I'm not optimistic about the system's chances, but I would like to be proven wrong.
Yeah.
And I mean, one thing we mentioned before, it's like it has a cartridge slot. I was like, well, that's cool. Maybe you could do something. If it has touchscreen capabilities,
right.
It would be nice if you could do like an up-res version of 3DS games.
That's the I'm disappointed in the cartridge system for this reason. That's the one thing that I want. The one criticism that I have so far. The other criticism
Benefit of the cartridges is if you have kids, they won't destroy your disc.
If they don't have a touchscreen on that tablet, that will be very disappointing. But the thing that I know for sure, listen,
you don't have to worry about smudging the screen.
Oh God, that's never been a problem on my Wii U.
The thing is, and this was something I touched on before we went on the air. If it has touchscreen capabilities, if they put in some form of an app store or Play Store or whatever. Then it's like if they open it up to stuff beyond strictly Nintendo authorized games, where like you can do stuff like here's your YouTube thing, here's your here's your Hulu Plus, here's your Netflix, here's your Amazon,
that'll be huge.
These are things that it's like you could actually they have a chance of like here's a standalone tablet. Like we don't have to put in the controllers in place, but. Here's a standalone tablet.
It will be touch, but Nintendo hasn't said anything.
Yeah, no, they've been mum about it. But it's like if they do that, it's like here's something that could eat into, like substantially eat into the the iPad's market share. And if they do that, it's like, I will be like, nice going, Nintendo. Thumbs up. You really, you know, you had some serious market savvy there going on. It's kind of like, you know, but what I'm seeing so far doesn't give me a lot of hope, because it's, as it stands right now, and I could be wrong because they've been quiet on details, but it's looking a lot like the PlayStation TV, where you have, it's like, it's a little too weak to be everything it could possibly be. Because like, if I say like the PlayStation TV, if it had 1080p output and had full support for Netflix, Hulu, PlayStation, or not PlayStation, YouTube, and, you know, the basically like the paid services and stuff like that, and could do it 1080p, the PSTV could have carved out a nice little niche of the market for like where Roku and Chromecast and Apple TV and that kind of stuff is.
Yeah, I think what
I would really love to see.
Well, I know the screen itself is a 720p, so the TV output should at least be 1080p.
I actually think that
maybe, but my point being though that it's like, if they had really taken advantage, like Sony had a massive opportunity with the PlayStation TV to grab a section of market share. Here's something that will do all of your video apps that you use every day, plus being able to play all of these digital PSP and a subset of Vita games.
But it's not going to support 3DS.
I would like for Nintendo to not do that mistake.
Have they said when they're going to start telling us more about it?
Next week should get more info. Next week.
And some stuff we're probably not going to see until January.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're going to get the specs next week.
That's what I was thinking. Like, we're probably not going to hear a lot until next year.
The one criticism that I wanted to mention that I haven't had a chance to is the cartridge thing. Like, if it's limited to 32 gig, I think that's shooting themselves in the foot a little bit. I think if they had it at a 50 to 100.
I think disappointing Frank is shooting themselves in the foot. How dare they?
Frank, I don't even know where you're getting this. They didn't talk at all about the cartridge.
I don't think they spoke at all about it.
You guys aren't letting me talk, so I can't finish. So, I mean, I don't know what to say.
To be fair, Frank, that's only because you're very boring.
Oh, God. Get out of here. Look, the speculation is that it's going to be 32 gig, like from...
And that's speculative for any game.
Speculative? It's not. We just discussed games that were 100 fucking gig, Eric. Like, honestly.
Yeah, but only because they were uncompressed.
Well, either way, like, I don't want compression. Like, I think compression should be a thing of the past as well. Like, that's, to me, that's ridiculous.
That's not rational, man. If you've ever dealt with AV work.
No, but I'm saying, like, it's getting more and
uncompressed
more.
Audio and video, and hell, for that matter, textures.
Look, if you had.
It's a major issue.
It's a major issue if you don't have.
Frank doesn't know how tech works.
Look, it's only a major issue if you limit yourself with your media. Now, nobody can tell me that with the technology nowadays that we can't put 100 gig on a disc and run it very soundly with no issue.
Well, I honestly think that if they did, if they have a format or a form, it's essentially like probably like a slightly specialized, or probably just have a specialized pinout for SD cards, where you do like, here's your 64 gigs. That's enough to do all modern games.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
For the next several years. And if it's that, I mean, I will say I was disappointed to see that, you know, this will not support Wii U games, or not Wii U, like 3DS games. It's like my first thought was like, one of the things I was like, where something
that's
that
actually
would,
a good and, thing, because that yeah. means they'll it, have. The people playing a dedicated portable on a different console, it ensures they get money.
And then it gives them enough time
to come up with another
handheld,
completely portable device that's more advanced.
My thought was, it's like, I, you know, like I mentioned, I didn't get a Wii U because it's like, oh, there's a couple games on there that I looked at and I was like, well, that looks kind of interesting, but I'm not willing to spend a couple $100 plus the game itself to get it.
I'm planning on getting a Wii U eventually when it's on clearance.
Yeah, it's like if the Switch had Wii U backwards compatibility, where I could download, like, or go onto the eShop and download games that I never had before. Well, specifically if they instituted an account system instead of your purchases being tied to your device, which is an awful idea. But it's like I would like to play Bayonetta 2. I might enjoy Splatoon. There are like a handful of Wii U games that I was like, that looks like it could be fun. And if they had that, since I didn't have a Wii U, and I saw someone reply to my comment about this, is where it was like, you know, it literally doesn't affect you at all. It's like, no, there's a few games that I would like to play on Wii U, but not worth me shelling out the money for the system. And if it's there was a way to support that on there, then you could make a buyer out of me.
But what I was thinking, disagree like, with you on the Wii U, man. But
would be a good idea. Would be a port, I guess. Maybe.
Yeah. What I was going to say, like one thing that would be an awesome idea, and that I don't know if Nintendo even considered or whatever, is like if you could take games like, you know, it's like some like 3DS games that I really wanted to try out, like those not Final Fantasy, Bravely Default.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like if you could put, if the screen of the system was touch based, and you could set it up to broadcast like the bottom screen that's on your controller, like when you have the two Switch controllers on either side, that's your touch screen, and then you have the main quote unquote 3D screen of the 3DS up on a television.
Already said it's not going to be a second screen.
What I was thinking like. This could be something special where like they have your main regular screen that you can touch and interact with on your handheld, like your gamepad, you know, Wii U gamepad kind of deal. But then you see like, you know, Legend of Zelda, you know, not Link to the Past, but with this, A Link Between Worlds, and like where you have the main screen up on there, up-resed to 1080p. That would be something amazing. And I thought that like when I saw the cartridge thing that they have going on, because they're not proper cartridges. They're like SD storage, because it's like
SD cards in a shell.
Essentially, because it's like I can say that the cost of manufacturing these like 3DS games versus PSP games, you're looking at something like $8 per PSP game, you know, per game, like not per game, like Mario Party costs $8, no, like per manufactured cartridge costs $8, and on the Vita it's like $13 or something.
That is purely
manufacturing cost.
Damn.
You know who endorses I'm not even gonna do it, man. I was gonna bring up Corey Feldman, but then that would not work in the Nintendo Switch's favor.
Don't do it.
All right.
Or else I will exile you.
Oh my god.
Where's the search?
All right, guys, let's end the show. We gotta get out of here. We're over time now. I think it's time to eat.
Well, we started a little late, so it doesn't matter.
Well, it matters to me. I'm hungry, man.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, so, I gotta go make dinner.
Yeah. All right. Let's end the show, guys. Everybody in chat, thank you so much, Dungeon Buster and Freak Five. You guys rock as always.
Oil.
Yeah, you're oily.
You guys rock like oil.
Yep, and you're oily. So there you go. So yeah, everybody. Let's do our plugs. Mug, let's start with your plugs.
All right, as usual, you can find me on basically anything. Look up Mario Mug, MoriaMug.
Not Mario Mug,
Mario Mug.
Not Mario Mug. I'm not a Mario fan. Moria, MoriaMug. Find me on PSN, on Facebook, or you know, whatever, and you know, hit me up, and we can talk.
Yeah, Mario games are great. Fuck off, Moria. Anyways,
I'm not, right. And that's the thing. I'm not saying that they're not great games. They're just not my thing.
You're just a hater. You should just say.
I'm not. How am I hating on something? If I say
he's
like,
not, he's not being a vindictive asshole.
A hater.
Yeah, it's like I'm not saying like Mario sucks. It's like Mario. It's a well-made game. It just doesn't hold any appeal for me.
Hater. Fucking hater.
You're kind of like Zach.
I mean, to be perfect.
You're kind of like Zach from Anime News Network. It's just nothing ever impresses you because you've been around so long.
Well, it's not like, you know, I mean, I'm not talking Dragon Quest VIII, which is a complete abomination under the face of the human race. Oh, it's God. Just Mario. It's just like.
It's just like Mario, man.
I mean, there's a chance, like, where, you know, like that you have a movie genre and you fucking hate. And but every once in a while, something can still impress you. It's like me with Westerns. I fucking hate Westerns. Tombstone is one of the greatest movies ever made.
Oh, God. Get out of here. Now you're just talking what? Stupid.
No, no, no. Hang on. Whoa.
You're just talking stupid. It's a good movie, but it's not the end-all tell-all. There are better
Westerns. If you want to tell me Tombstone is not a great movie, I will fight you.
It's not great. It's good. I wouldn't put it in the great category. I'd put it in really good.
I will physically fight you. I will lay you out. Get out of here. Your family.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen, man.
All right. You know what? Is that so? You know what I have to say to that?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Nintendo Frank, Switch right here, Huckleberry. Huh?
Yeah. I will be your Huckleberry, Frank.
Oh god, that sounds nasty.
Next
man.
Week we can come up with lewd slogans for the Nintendo Switch.
Oh god. Nintendo bitch.
It is?
There you go.
No. It's like that, do you know that Switch already has a defined meaning in sexuality?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like someone who can either be a dominant or a submissive.
Top or bottom. I don't know that.
It's another way of saying it. Top or bottom.
The Nintendo.
I learn things every day.
Oh, freak. You know, he doesn't say anything for a while, and then you bring up Tombstone. He's like, Tombstone's better than DQ. It is not. Get out of here.
So, see, and that's one of the great things, like why I, at this moment, I rate Freak a.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. Don't give him a big goddamn head, man. That's
see,
awful.
My thought is, if you disagreed with him, why did you read what he said?
Yeah.
I think secretly you agree with him.
No. I it's because I'm obligated to reach out.
No, it's okay.
No, I'm obligated
to
reach out.
It's okay, Frank. Look, okay. You don't have to admit anything. You don't have to deny anything.
Get out of here, you son of a bitch, Breakman. You're exiled, man. Breakman, your plugs.
You can follow me at RP Grinders and at Break _ Man, and then you can go home and watch Tombstone and make fun of Frank. I mean, just watch Tombstone. Don't make fun.
It's a good movie. I wouldn't classify it as great.
I also want to plug Deadpool. That was a lot of fun, and I hope Maria feels better.
Yeah.
Did you only just now get around to seeing Deadpool?
I just watched it today, yes.
Are you serious?
Oh, nice.
Jesus Christ, man.
I mean, theaters to see it.
Yeah. Cool. No. Somebody hooked me up with a free copy, and I watched finally today.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. It's a movie. It's honestly a movie worth paying to see.
It only took so long for it to go on video because it was in theaters for so long.
Yeah, it's my favorite Marvel movie, not part of the Marvel cinematic universe.
Yeah, I mean, and I can easily see that. It's not my favorite. My favorite probably still goes to X2.
X2's good.
Yeah, because I really loved that movie, and yeah. God, X-Men Apocalypse.
I hated the
was
ending.
Bad.
Nah, it's like the only bad part of that movie.
I want to watch Apocalypse still. I'll wait till it comes out at the Redbox, though.
Yeah, you definitely should. It is like, you know, how like, I didn't detest X-Men The Last Stand like a lot of people did.
It's awful.
It has its good points.
I watched it and it was like, this is a thing that happened. It sure was a movie.
Yeah, it was a movie.
If you kill my favorite X-Men in the lamest possible way ever... You've already lost me.
I can say at least it's better than Resident Evil.
Anything.
Resident Afterlife.
Evil, anything. It's better than.
You kept watching Resident Evil movies?
Fucking.
I actually still. I've watched every single one of the Resident Evil movies.
I'm subjecting myself to retribution and extinction.
This is what I. What I think.
Oh, God.
Of.
Hang on. Actually, Extinction is a somewhat decent movie.
There's a long pause there.
That is, you know, I mean, that's me saying, like, as you know, like, it's not a good movie.
I can't believe
like, it has it. It's
is anybody gonna watch
written...
Final Solution? I mean, Final Chapter.
I can't believe I'm gonna. I can't believe I'm gonna say this.
I will watch Resident Evil: The Final Chapter because it can't fucking be worse than Retribution. Retribution
yes,
was absolutely.
It can be worse. Look, I can't believe
can't.
I'm going to say
no,
this.
No, I don't accept what you're saying.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, guys, but I think Harmonica is better than all of the Resident... Listen! Harmonica is better than all of the Resident Evil movies combined. Those movies are just fucking god-awful. They're just... You know what? When Hillary...
Can I move on to my plugs and can we get out of here?
No, not really. I have something real quick to say.
Not really. Like, Frank has declared no.
Yeah, no.
I just heard your request, and your request was denied.
Yeah, no, and God, those movies are just god awful. Don't get me started. All right, break your plugs, please.
I'd like to plug. I don't have any more. That's it. I can't think of anything else.
All right, Eric, your plugs.
You can find my reviews at sites like BostonBastardBrigade.com. My review of River City, Tokyo Rumble is up there. And there's also other sites like TotallyGN.com, VogNetwork.com, HonestGamers.com, and GameTactics.com. Yeah. And if you like my reviews, you can go to my newly created Patreon. I'll post a link in chat.
Yeah, I've been thinking of creating an RP Grinders Patreon just to see if we get anybody from anywhere giving us any money to do anything.
I only got one donation so far.
Yeah. All right, guys. My plugs. Check out Jessica Jones and Luke Cage on Netflix, man. Netflix is bringing it, man.
Those are good.
I've heard that I need to watch Jessica Jones to really, to get everything
out of it. It has a really good villain. Yeah. The villain in Jessica Jones, if it weren't for Kingpin, I'm trying to think of his name, Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, D'Onofrio.
Vincent D'Onofrio, yeah.
D'Onofrio, like, he steals the show. He is the best villain in the Marvel Universe.
Ooh, I don't know about that, man. Jessica Jones villains, fucking
phenomenal. He's really good, too, but I think as Kingpin, like, he just...
Oh yeah, that was inspired casting.
Yeah,
I will say it's like I liked, and actually one of the things that the theatrical release of the movie Daredevil was fucking awful. The director's cut is a much better movie.
I know, but still, like
it has nothing.
Duncan as Kingpin was horribly miscast. Yeah,
bad.
I actually don't think Ving Rhames as the Kingpin was that bad.
It wasn't Ving Rhames.
Ving Rhames, no.
Not Ving Rhames. I can't remember his name.
What's his first name?
Michael Duncan Clark. Was awful.
But no, I don't think he was a terrible choice. I thought there were some things about the Daredevil movie that worked, like the whole thing, like the way they visually represented the way he perceives things. I thought that's really cool.
Yeah.
If you've never seen the director's cut, one of the biggest things that people complained about in the movie was that there's this major thing where he's going back to near the climax of the film where he's like he decides to go back to see Elektra and he makes love to her and all this other shit, and it's just like, no, in the director's cut, he doesn't do that. He goes forward with what he was going to do. And it's like, that really changed. It really shifts the tone of the movie. It makes it much more watchable.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. That's it. Yeah, anything else, Mug? Because we really got to go, dude. I'm dying of heat exhaustion in this room.
Yeah, like, I got you. Really. I got you. No, we're fine. Right. Yeah, if you find, it's like, look me up on whatever, look at like Moria Mug. Twitter, no. PSN, Xbox Live, whatever, and hit me up and just identify who you are, and I'll add you to my friends list, whatever.
Yeah. God, Lulu's so hot in Final Fantasy X. Sorry, I just thought I'd get that out there. Follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. You can find me on the PlayStation Network and I believe the Xbox as well, Frank Branches. And that's.
Nobody has an Xbox.
I know. I don't have an Xbox One, man.
Sorry, I know. Go on.
I'm gonna get one eventually, but I'll probably.
No, it's okay, Frank. I'll probably get the
Nintendo first. Man. No GDP. God damn it, Freak Five. I didn't lose. I did not lose the bet. I'll have you know. So.
Oh, actually, before we close out, I wanted to say. Speaking of GDP, like just playing like old music and stuff like that. If you look up. The Nobel Prize the Nobel ceremony, and AHA played, they played Take on Me. 35 fucking years later, the guy still has the pipes. He can still hit the high note with no fucking problem.
Oh my God.
Damn,
it's worth watching.
One hit wonders, man, I swear. All right. Yeah.
It was a really fucking good hit.
Ugh, for like 2 seconds. All right, guys. God, man, that's awful, man. Grab your nuts a little bit harder. You might get there, man. All right, guys, that's about it for this week. Make sure you check out Wiffix and I's other show, Wherewithal, at Share the Wear on Twitter. We should be doing another episode real soon. It should happen real soon. We got a couple movies.
Dungeon Buster just wanted to share with us. Take on me.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh God, this is awful. Oh Jesus Christ.
Go back to the mock-up.
I know. God damn it. This is awful. Alright guys, stay safe this weekend. We want to hear you back next week. Until then, we are out. Later, guys.